is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Your only business is how you start the f***ing day. Uncle Lane, before you go to sleep, how are you supposed to start?
I said I'm clean.
You answer my damn question.
My is just clean.
You have the rest of your body clean?
Yes.
What's next?
The room where I receive, and that's clean.
What's next after that?
God me, Joni.
What's next, Lila? If you ain't too f***ing high.
Our room where we rest.
Which don't it f***ing stink in here? It does, Lila. Like a hog horse f***ed. And they ain't loaded not to smell it. Won't you go, girl? Won't you get to the muck where you're anyway.
From the 1860s to the 1990s, he's the medicine man that will cure what ails you.
That hand looks a little swollen.
What do you mean?
This will just take me a minute.
Good doctor him.
He's Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon.
Hello, m'lady. Can I help you?
No, I'm just waiting for a friend.
You know, your eyes do seem a little bit bloodshot.
Really?
I can fix that.
His stovepipe hat and his black leather bag. He likes to make house calls.
Son, you look a little under the weather.
Well, my nose is runny.
Not anymore.
Don Geronimo, Civil War surgeon, Wednesday nights on ABC, right after Ellen.
What's wrong with you, you pervert? You're going to hell, man.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, f*** you and your families, too. Now let's talk about the game.
Can we see that phone?
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Hotline. If you are obsessive compulsive, press 1 repeatedly. If you are codependent, ask someone to press 2 for you. If you have multiple personalities, press 3, 4, 5, and 6. If you are paranoid, we know what you are and what you want. Stay on the line and we'll trace your call. If you're delusional, press 7, and your call will be transferred to the mothership. If you are schizophrenic, listen carefully, and a small voice will tell you which number to press. If you're depressive, it doesn't matter which number you press, no one will answer you. If you're dyslexic, press 69696969. If you have a nervous disorder, please fidget with the hash key until the beep. After the beep, please wait for the beep. If you have a short-term memory loss, please try your call again later. And if you have low self-esteem, hang up. All our operators are too busy to talk to you.
More than likely you're gay. Well, then more than likely you're gay.
My face in your ass. How about that, friend?
I'll tell you exactly what happened. One day, your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. So you said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on. Nice, good jerk, too. You know that? Ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that. Somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who that? I don't like that jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. You get the Vaseline ready. And you just look at your dick and go scream if you want to. No one's going to hear.
This is a story of a boy named Shmuley, whose parents' divorce left him lonely. Shmuley made a promise that when he grew up, he'd devote his life to helping families in trouble, so no other children would be lonely. He became a rabbi, began counseling families, and wrote some bestsellers. With 8 kids and 18 years of marriage, he's had plenty of practice. And how do I know all this? Because I'm his mom. Now he's on a mission, searching for families that are just not working. He studies them from the outside and helps them heal from the inside, bringing peace and tranquility.
Because that's the meaning of shalom. This time, parents trying to cope with a daughter diagnosed with ADHD.
You want to see your medicine.
Yes, it's fine.
You want milk. There's one of me. What do you want me to do?
The family's in turmoil because of a bitter split and the introduction of a new stepdad.
There's a lot of bad blood between us.
Is it this family's unrest that's at the heart of the daughter's ADHD? And do they have to start looking at themselves before tackling their daughter's behavior?
Close to the fence.
They're a family loaded with problems that's robbing them of peace. Is your house a war zone? Do you have enough shalom in your own home? Well, log on to tlc.com/shalom and tell me about your own family. Maybe you're even brave enough to come on to our TV show. And if you have questions, I'll try to answer as many as possible, either through the website or via downloadable podcasts. And in the meantime, shalom!
Since the show, I wish I could say that the relationship with Robert got better.
Things with Paula seemed to improve for a little while, but there was a little bump in the road with us, and things have unraveled since then.
I would actually say it's worse now.
Michael, come get your socks.
It really sucks that things have broken down yet again between Paula, Gary, and Robert, and Robert is still concerned about the influence Gary's having over his kids. I wish things were better for this family, I really do. But in the final analysis, the interests of their children are paramount, and the kids have to be put first.
Who are you calling gay?
Yeah, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia, also Warner Cable. 27. How y'all doing out there? The Tom Gavin Show right here. Fairfax, Virginia. It's snowing out there. Guys, watch the road. It's icy. It's icy out there, guys. Give us a call. 560-55. We're going to have Incredible Johnson coming on next after these commercials. We're going to be running some PSAs.
You want a match? My face in your ass. How about that, friend?
Huh?
I mean, my face. What's up?
Yeah, that's right. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there, guys? Today is my anniversary on my show today. Give me a call, 560-55-560-55.
What's wrong with you, you pervert? You're going to hell, man.
Likely you're gay.
Yeah, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? I got a special request. The people of it, WNVT, Channel 53 and 56. Fred just called in. Give us a call back, Fred, if you need any more requests. Yeah, hey, y'all doing that there? This is the Tom Gavin Show. Everybody over there at Channel 53 can call 560-55-560.
You want a match? My face and your ass. How about that, friend? Huh? I mean, your ass and my face. What's up?
Quick plug, Ola. I'm Mike LaFontaine, owner and founder of High Class Management. Whoops. Comics' constant companion. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
We are going to be talking about vaginas.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, how are you doing? Good morning to you, and how's everything?
I'm a little sad tonight, Seth. I have the radio on.
Oh, boy, and you got me. Oh, this is great. Are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better.
That's good. That's anything I can do for you.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. My friend Mike can't get a date, and I feel bad for him because he's a really nice guy.
Nice guy. Nice.
Yeah, he was at a Maxim party last week, and he tried to give one of the models a Roman helmet, and it didn't go over well.
I see. Well, thank you for calling. Listen, whatever your friend is doing, make sure that he does it safely. Safely.
You hear that, Mike?
Roman helmet.
You were at that Maxim party.
I really don't know what a Roman helmet is.
I think it has something to do with your wiener.
Sounds well when you say helmet.
Yeah.
You would think
he tried to give the girls a Roman helmet.
I just like that guy. And I like this guy that's singing. Coming up.
That was from when you went to that Maxim party, what, at the Super Bowl?
In Tampa.
In Tampa Bay. Oh, boy, a long time ago.
I think
don't forget those ribs we had.
Oh, yeah.
The meatballs right
off the bone, right on the street.
The following takes
right off the cart.
Between 3 p.m. and 7.
Between 2 and 6.
And 1 and 5.
4.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere.
Stop that. I want to say something here. That was a time when we were in Tampa Bay when all I could say is it involved ribs. It involved the transfer of ribs. And Wendell Hall, our engineer at the time, was so drunk and laughed so much, we really thought he was going to check out.
He gurgled.
He was laughing so much. Yeah, he was audibly gurgling.
His laugh would best be described as strangulated.
Yes. It also involved our former business manager.
Business manager. You are not supposed to even be talking right now.
I didn't stand
the door. The door is not open, boy.
You're only imagining my voice.
But the story of Tampa Bay,
yes,
and the story of the ribs, that'll be in our book.
All right. In the book. You'll enjoy it.
We start today with the Black Blade.
Hello.
It won't be in the book.
Yes, it will. So all of a sudden, he's afraid.
Sure.
What, that is
me.
Not for you?
No.
You're not afraid for you?
No.
You should be.
Who are you afraid for if not for you?
I'm afraid for all of our souls.
Now that's good, too.
Yeah, but you're the ringleader.
Oh, well. Okay. Guilty.
You're the soul wrangler.
And again, there you go. There you go again. Another quote, Ronnie Reagan. There you go again. The door's not been opened. Now let's hear this thing.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Hello! Hello!
Ta-da! Oh, there he is.
He's mentally retarded.
How's your choo-choo train?
How's your Bobby Bacala?
Hey, welcome back.
Yeah.
You weren't here yesterday.
Right.
That's
we weren't?
No.
All right.
Thank heavens you're back. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Magnificent Flat Top, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, the haircut. Yeah.
And all the ships to see.
Rubber.
The curators of the heavy petting zoo, on Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Oh, God, why me?
God damn.
Because he wound up.
Uh-huh.
He's like a kid.
He missed you.
Yeah.
It is like coming back and seeing a dog.
Yeah. I was just going to say, Mike, it's not like a kid. It's more like a dog.
A greeting from a dog right there.
Don and Mike show, friends. You can tell by the smell. And it's a new episode of this 2D.
2D.
61306.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
No, Buzz ain't retarded. Well, there's the song's gone. It's a good song to start with. Phone number 877-365-3636. Or 800-636-1067. Want to email us? Email us at donandmikewebsite.com. You hear us on the intronet there at our website, donandmikewebsite.com. And we're on iTunes and blah, blah, blah. So it's a Tuesday, but to us it feels like Monday.
It does indeed.
Although to me, really, and, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. I feel over the last 4 days, I have packed more living and less sleeping into the last 4 days, maybe than ever. Starting with
breakneck schedule?
Well, just things going the way that they go. Starting on Friday night, then it was not so great Friday night. Then Saturday was really outstanding, going up to the Poconos for the NASCAR, and that was really great until the moment that I burned out on NASCAR,
right?
Which was approximately lap 102 on Sunday.
It's pretty good.
A lot of stuff, and then. Mike and I were up in New York yesterday.
Yeah. Beautiful Gotham, New York City.
Yeah. Not much to report except Bobby Bacala sure does like to eat.
He does. And he took us to an eating establishment, and man, we ate too.
Wow.
I mean, everybody ate.
Well, you had to eat. That.
You had to eat in this joint.
Sure. So we don't have a lot to tell you. Yesterday was a social call with some other stuff that we really you don't care about. It's behind the scenes stuff, and everything's cool. Everything is fine. And we got to meet a couple of the dickheads who we've never met before. And how you doing, dickheads? They're listening now. At least the one guy from Brooklyn, although
they were all from Brooklyn.
But the one guy that was really from Brooklyn,
right?
He obviously turns on the listen thing and listens all the time.
Yeah, because he kind of knew our show. He knew what was going on, and the other guy had a general knowledge of our show.
Well,
and then
good.
Of course Bobby Bacala had a general knowledge of the restaurant
of lasagna.
I was sure it was very, very nice. We'd never been in all the time that we spent in New York City. We had never been to this particular place, and that was kind of fun, kind of unique. Yeah, we demonstrated, I think, walking over there that we're still rubes when it comes to New York City, where, you know, seriously, we ought to have GPS devices because, you know, we get turned around pretty easily.
Hey, Mike, look. Look, Mike. David Letterman show.
They taping two or one today. They sure got a lot of people outside.
Oh, God damn it. Like Andy and Barney, you know. No wonder we didn't make it there. Look at us. We're rubes. We're freaking rubes.
Yeah, we are. It's a very, very, you know, but when you've been there, when you've seen it, you know, it's Times Square is Times Square. One thing I noticed about it, and I said this to somebody, you know what? One thing about New York City just doesn't change.
Doesn't seem to. Not Manhattan.
It doesn't really seem to change at all. Now, I know they put up new billboards and all the new stuff and the evidence, but really, overall, the city doesn't change.
But it's great there, and it's spring, so it sounds like you had a good trip.
It was nice.
Oh, we did. We had for a change with management, we had what I think is a pretty good meeting.
Yeah.
And
I gained 16 pounds.
Seriously.
You know, we got up there and
we put at least a couple of bugs in their ears.
So they know you exist.
And I mean, literally, like in the movie Dune or in Star Trek, the one with Khan, we put bugs in their ears.
I during part of the time there, I ate an ice cream cone and chased it with a slice of pizza. I don't know what happened to me. I got off the train in New York City and I just went bat ass for food. And I mean, it's just, you know what you realize when you're in New York?
A good quality food.
Do you know what people do if they're not working and they're not walking to their jobs or subwaying to their jobs?
What
or
do people do?
They eat.
Yep.
They eat all the time.
Mm-hmm. And any time, night or day, people are eating. People are feeding. And I saw an actor on the street. And the more I thought about this actor that I saw on the street might have been actually doing one of those long shot shoots where, because he was being very acting as he walked by me, but I tried to communicate to Don who this guy was.
I had no idea.
And, you know.
A durable character actor?
A character actor in the mold of Jeffrey Rush. Okay. But he is he's a wild-haired, wild-eyed character actor. He has played top executives, and he played a really bad guy in the very unsuccessful movie Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall, my daughter's friend.
No, Robert was thanks, Robert. No, it wasn't Buddy Hackett.
The movie A Beautiful Mind.
He's in that.
He plays
a BM.
He plays the head of the cigarette company. If anybody remember, he's the guy with the long fingernails that's kind of drumming them on the table.
Now, when you say A Beautiful Mind...
He also played Lyndon Johnson.
Hold on. When you say A Beautiful Mind, and you said this to me yesterday...
You know what? I should have said that
too. And he's the head of the cigarette company.
He played LBJ.
Do you mean the movie The Insider?
The Insider.
With Russell Crowe?
That's where I screwed up.
Well, then why... Okay, now hold on a second.
I screwed up when I said that to you, and I called it A Beautiful Mind last night.
So I've seen The Insider. Which guy is it?
Okay, the guy that's the head of the company that Jeffrey Weigand or whatever.
Yeah, Weigand or whatever.
Why
guy
that
right?
He's leaving, and he's the guy that they do the close up of his hands with his long fingernails drumming on the guy. But
don't
here's,
remember
here's what he's most
do.
Famous for. He either it was I think a television miniseries where he played LBJ. He played Johnson. He played President Johnson, and that was another obscure. But actually, that was a starring role for him. So I'm not sure.
Glad it made you happy.
I recognized him. I like him. I like his work. I can't do my work.
We are so different. Mm-hmm. We got to New York. We took the train up together. You know, like buddies, sat next to each other the whole way.
Oh, that's
you know,
nice.
Held hands, made out, did all that stuff.
Kissed.
Got there, got to the hotel. It said, you know, see you in like 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Mike went out doing whatever he did, walking, eating. You know,
my feet were killing me.
Exploring.
My feet really were killing me. I walked so much.
And I used to it.
I explored the chair. The chair in the hotel room. Got dressed, went to dinner, walked back with Mike, came back, went to bed. I really, literally...
We had a nightcap. We had a toddy.
That was a brief one in the hotel bar.
Just brief.
It was just brief.
I was actually tired, too. I you know me, I would have done what I used to do, and I'm realizing I don't do that as much anymore. I mean, I would have been... Let's go, and I didn't feel like it.
It's me and my idiosyncrasies. We're in arguably what a lot of people think is the greatest city in the world.
Most exciting
city. Yeah, where everything is always open and something's always happening. Mm-hmm. And I was just as usual barricaded up in my room, just barricaded in my hotel room.
School night.
There was one scene. You missed a great scene at the hotel in New York when the Australian gentleman was absolutely having a meltdown at the front desk because something was wrong with his room.
Is this the guy, Mike? Michael Gambon or Gambon? G-A-M-B-O-N?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Definitively not.
No, it's not.
If it is, it's a bad picture of him.
All right. Listen, we got a lot of stuff to get to today. I got so much weekend crap to get to. I know we want to talk about New York a little bit, and we've got Cheryl, the big dyke that went to the gay pride parade. We have her tapes to get to today.
Good.
So we're going to be jam packed. That was really, and I did have a great time at NASCAR up at the Poconos on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeehaw!
I was looking forward to it, but the weekend did not get off on the best note.
Wow.
We had these hit and miss thunderstorms. You know, it's what they call the pop up storm. Now, here at work, didn't rain at all. I mean, maybe it rained briefly. It sprinkled. Who cares? When we left, it was sunny.
Right.
The closer I got to my house, the more it looked like some type of storm had just rolled through, right? Mm. So I pulled onto my street, and I'm more than a mile away because I know this from going out and going running. I know where the 1 mile mark, 2 mile mark is. I notice I'm about a mile and a half from my house going down this road, and it's one road, like everybody going to their house, and lightning has struck two trees, and the two trees have crossed each other in the road, and the wires are down, and the wires are... And there's cop cars there, and there's fire trucks there, and all the neighbors are there. There's like 8 million cars, people. So what I do is... I back the car up, and I take it to my neighbor, Cecily's house.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first one on the street, about a mile and a half from my house. And just my luck, I get there. They're having a party.
Oh, dear.
And I'm just coming home.
And it's a Friday, so
yeah.
it's a real party.
It's a real party. So I'm just coming home from work, and it's like, I go, oh, Christ.
You're not exactly dressed in your party finery.
You know, it's like, I can't get to the house. The power's been off. I bet the dogs have gotten... Yeah, at least Clink has gotten sick down there. And my neighbors, who are very nice, wonderful people, they all, I guess, had a couple. And they were like, hey, come here, give me a hug.
Uh-huh.
What, stay. What do you got to do? Well, you got to go stay.
Come on.
Stay for the party. So I said, no, I've really got to hike home. I'm worried about the dogs. I want to get there before the power goes off.
And it's like every party that it usually is held in your neighborhood. It's a swingers party, right?
Oh, yeah, they were topless. Yeah. The women were topless.
But you had to leave.
So because I implicitly trust these people, what I did was I said, okay, well, can I just leave the car in your parking lot? Or in your circular driveway? And the lady that owns the house, Cecily, she said, sure. Now, my former neighbor, Bunny, I've spoken of Bunny before.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she, your neighbor said, just put your house keys in the fishbowl.
That's right.
put your keys in this bowl.
So my old neighbor, Bunny, uh-huh, who's back in the neighborhood for this party, she says, you know what? We can take you down to where the trees have crossed the road by where the cop cars are. That's about a half mile down. Uh-huh. I said, that's okay, if you want to do that, thinking that she's going to get in her car and drive me down there.
Right.
So we go towards her car, and she says, no, we'll drive your car. Now, I know
I'm confused.
Okay.
Because why don't you just drive your car then?
Well, here's the thing. Maybe I'm not explaining this correctly.
You can't get to your house because there are trees across.
Trees in the road.
You go to the closest neighbor's house,
which is a half mile away.
Right.
Okay. What they say when I get to their house and explain to them that I'm not going to be able to drive the car down the road, I'm going to have to walk home, I say, can I leave my car in your driveway?
Right. So you're not leaving it on the street.
Right. Unlike all my other neighbors who have already done it, and there's fire trucks coming in and power company coming in, and it's going to be just a friggin' mess.
Right.
So Bunny says, sure. And then she says, how about we give you a ride down to where the trees have crossed? That's about a half mile, right? I'm a lazy guy. I said, sure.
Save you some walking.
You bet. She says, okay, we'll take your car. And I said, well, why are we taking my car? She said, because it's a nice car. She says, when did you get this car? And I said, well, right after Frida died, I got this car. She said, oh, it's nice. So we get in, and she's like,
and they're going to take your car back to the neighbor's house.
Yeah. She said, it's like one of those things that, where's the key go?
Yeah.
I said, oh, it's very simple. You push on the brake and push the start button. So as I was walking away, I realized, I mean, I know Bunny and I trust her implicitly and the guy that she was with.
Uh-huh.
But it was like, I turned and it was just like, okay, bye. Like, I've not seen Bunny maybe in 7 months.
And she has your car.
And she's just speeding down the road. In my brand new pristine car.
Yes.
See you later, Donnie. Your car's going to be just fine.
So I hike down to my house. I make it to my house.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no power. It's hot as hell in the house because the air conditioning was on. And by this time, it's maybe 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to get a little dark outside, and I walk in, and I am greeted by Clink, who is out of his mind because there has been heavy-duty lightning and thunder.
Did it go to his bowels?
Yes, and I S you not, no pun intended, not trying to gross anybody out. When I opened the door, he was so glad to see me and so afraid. What he did was what he always does, which is jump up on me.
Yeah.
And I realized after he jumped up on me that he had been, yes, walking through his own dog feces.
Yes.
That he had deposited all over.
And now on you.
All over.
Because you'd give him something for that normally, right? But if you're not there
there, I can't give him his doggy down.
It's kind of a catch-22 because when it happens, 90% of the time, you're here.
So I didn't even know. Normally I can call a neighbor like Cecily and say, hey, it's raining. Go give him his doggy downer.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even know it was raining. I walk inside. I swear to God, I am such a wuss when it comes to the gag reflex.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I'm outside and he's got his paws on me. And I'm like looking at my shirt going, my God, this is dog S on my shirt. I walk inside and I go like this. Okay, boys. And I run outside the house because I think I'm going to puke.
Yeah. Right.
And now there's no power. It's hot.
Uh-huh.
I'm having to find some type of candles. And
You got to clean up the poop by candlelight?
You bet your ass I do. And incidentally, because I'm on a well, after about the third trip to fill the bucket with water, I got that old... So what I had to end up doing was, what a great classy evening.
Yeah, because you're basically flushing all the water out of the system.
Yeah, what I ended up doing was getting a big bucket and going to all the various toilets.
Anybody that's on a well, you're not alone. That's,
in the house.
That's normal behavior.
So I was just thinking, you know, what a spectacular, glamorous life I have. Friday night, it's about 87 degrees inside my house. My one dog is so flipped out by the weather that he is still shaking and trembling, and it's getting dark, and I'm having to clean up, and I am not exaggerating when I say puddles, big freaking puddles of diarrhea. I went through 3 rolls of Bounty. I went through almost an entire can of the spray. The stuff that you spray on the carpet.
Now you could probably
there.
Be more efficient with the Bounty, but I know what you do. You do what everybody does. That's really, most of that paper towel is just hand protective paper towel.
You bet.
Where you want as much distance between your hand and the dog stuff.
And in the meantime, when I'm realizing I'm running out of water, just when it doesn't get bad enough, I got to go to the toilet to get water to put in the bucket to wash the floor and to wash the dogs. And I realized right away that, of course, a big regular-sized plastic bucket is not made to fit inside a toilet. So what do? I go get a big-ass, like, Slurpee cup from downstairs.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on my knees in front of the toilet and putting my hand in the good old toilet water, filling the Slurpee glass up and glug, 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 glug.
Did you ever think when there were thunderstorms in the forecast that you could put a dog in a doggy diaper? Like, put one of those things on where, don't they have those?
But they always, they're calling for rain all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I do all of this stuff, and the house is clean. I won't bore you with this, but it is literally 9:30, and now I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, I'm out of water in the toilets. Uh-huh. I've used every toilet in the house to get water, and it's not raining anymore, so it's not like I can go outside and wash my hands. And I go, I am so screwed. I feel like such, and I look in the backyard, and all of a sudden I see out there, I have a swimming pool. I could have, to get water,
gotten buckets.
I could have simply walked down the deck,
cleaned your house with nice chlorinated pool water,
gotten 2 buckets of water at a time,
sure.
And I have an unlimited supply now, not drinking water, but certainly good enough to wash the crap off the dogs.
Right.
So I just felt like a total idiot, and what I did, because, again, I'm just stupid, I went out on the back on my deck, and I was looking at the pool out there, and I was holding these 2 buckets, which had a combination of leftover backwash from cleaning the dogs.
And it's almost dinner time.
And what I did was, I was so pissed.
Uh-huh.
And there's no power, you know, and everything's going out. And I mean, it's dark, and I can't find anything. When I go, you know what? Screw it. Now, on a good day, if I was on my deck and I was going to try to, out of anger, punt a bucket, I guarantee you, if I was lucky enough to be coordinated enough to punt the thing, it would go 2 feet to the right and would fall.
You'd shank it.
Right. So I go, oh, God damn, this is a great, you know me, I was like, I'm just talking to myself on the back porch. Great start to a weekend. Hands smell like S everywhere, no power, no way to cook. I got to get water out of the toilet, but really I can get out of the pool. I go, screw it. I take the bucket. Boom. It goes way up in the air, and guess where it went? Right in the swimming pool.
Right in the pool.
Right in the swimming pool, where all of a sudden there are brown Bounty towels.
Oh.
It spread instantly.
Oh, my God.
I am not exaggerating this in the least.
Oh, my God.
So that was a happy call that I made on...
You'll be eating that, drinking that all summer.
Oh, no, I made the call Saturday morning.
They shocked it?
Yeah, they fixed it over the weekend.
They shocked him over and shocked the pool.
Shock it! So the power came on, I think, like at 4:45 a.m. on Saturday morning. So I was getting up with the dogs, and I realized the phone's working and everything. I've got to get my dogs over.
Did you have anything to eat? Did you have any dinner on Friday night?
Mike, as Hank Hill says, what does he say about propane?
Taste the meat, not the heat.
Uh-huh. Thank God I have propane.
Yeah, you have your propane, so you were able to grill something up.
Yeah, so I was able to handle that.
Grilled lettuce. Didn't have any meat in the house, unfortunately. You grilled some so wontons.
It's Saturday, and now I'm up, and the power's back on.
A new day.
And, you know, when the power's on, for me, it's like being reborn. It's like, I don't care that it's 4:45. I'm up, and it's like, oh, my God, look at this. Lights, air conditioning, yes. So I wait.
You ought to live in a condo.
I leave the message.
Because you like power so much, but you live rurally, and so you get whacked whenever there's any kind of weather.
Yeah, but...
I mean, how often, seriously, you ever think about how often you lose power at your house?
It's worth it to be far away from everybody.
This is true. This
it's
is
worth
true.
It. It's worth it just to be as Eric Carmen says, all by myself.
Yeah, well, you never should have sold it or given it away, whatever you did with it.
With what?
Huh? The generator.
Yeah.
Oh, the gift.
Stop it with that.
Well, it's true.
Saturday when I called... You know, the generator that you gave me is
the phenomenal, the great generator I gave you. One of the best presents I ever gave you.
Really, it's not enough to power a house. I mean, it's a fine generator. And
it's enough
I know...
to power your television and several other. It would have been enough to like, do that.
But it was an outstanding gift in thought. But actually, I remember standing on the deck with Frida saying, exactly how do you run the power so it's only from the satellite and only to the TV from this thing that you have to fill with gasoline. I mean, yeah. It was a nice gift, Mike.
After all these years, are you changing this now? Are you going to say? I thought you gave it to your in-laws.
I gave it to my mother-in-law.
You gave it to your in-laws, but now you never said this. That you've never revealed this much to me. Was it the idea of having the gas-powered? Putting the gasoline in it? Was that...
No, not at all. It's just, I think your thought was that you could get me a generator that somehow, if the power went off, I could keep the necessities, at least by my way, the necessities going. And I think practically, and I remember Frida looking at this situation and saying, really, you know, this thing is made for, like, someone to use whatever people use generators for.
I mean like a construction site or something?
Yeah, but not... But she said, this is not made, like, to just run your TV and the satellite. I remember standing there with her, and she
said... Why not?
Well, Mike, if I could call her and ask her, I would. But she,
okay.
She had the reasons. I mean,
right.
She said it's not as easy as just plugging in the TV and then plugging in a satellite connection.
What I would have imagined you would have done was you plug in a power strip and then just those four little things.
I believe what she thought was that would be too much power for a generator that size.
Oh, all right.
So, all
right. Well, it's really...
Thanks for the small generator.
It was the biggest one I could get.
Yeah.
It was the biggest one I could
would
get
you let it
at
go?
The Home Depot. When you run out of power every week in the summertime, which you do.
I've said thank you countless times. Really, I have. Thank
I know.
You. That was
I know.
That was, you know, normally, let's face it, as we've said many times, you're thoughtless.
Right.
But you were very thoughtful, and thank you for that.
You're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
And my mother-in-law, even though she's never cracked the box, she loves the thought of having it.
She likes having it there as a backup. But you love your power, though. You are so... totally lost when you lose electricity.
I'm naked without it.
And you lose it. Seriously, how many times a year you figure you lose your power?
I don't know. 10 times.
10 times.
Something like that. But Saturday morning, the best part was before I leave to drop the doggies off at the kennel and go pick up my girlfriend to go to the Poconos, I get to call the pool company.
Yes.
And thank God they were not there. It was about 7:30. I leave the message. Hi, it's me. Good morning. Got a little problem in my pool. And I gave them the whole story. Power was out, diarrhea, dog diarrhea. I was angry. I was on my deck. Somehow, there's about 25 Bounty towels and other stuff. I said, I went out with the, and I did go out with the
skimmer to try to get the towels.
With the big net that's got the gigantic, 8-foot pole on it.
Right. That's the skimmer.
But the problem is that, the Bounty was disintegrating. As I would go to scoop it up, it would break like into 1,000 little pieces. And,
so you got some of it, but not all of it.
Oh, no. It was mainly all over the bottom of the pool.
But isn't more importantly what was in the Bounty towels?
Yeah, amen.
A little more microscopic.
That's right. Your fecal matter. Now, that's what Channel 5...
Your dog's fecal matter.
That's right. That's what Channel 5 should do a story about.
Have you been to the school's cafeteria?
Not about mouse feces.
Kids are bringing their dogs in, and look what they're doing.
Evidence of road contamination. Mice excrement. Fallen tiles.
Those are the things that scare us.
Fox 5's hidden cameras. Exposed health violations in school cafeterias.
I was at a loss for words.
Could your child's school be serving up filth tonight at 10?
Yeah.
On Fox 5 News.
Fecal pools.
Come on over. Go swimming. Don't drink. Don't drink the water.
That's a choice gig, though. But they can't all these things be accomplished with the right amount of chemicals if they put the chemicals in your
pool? Yes. As always, Buzz will tell you, everything is better through chemistry.
Sure, right.
Yes, by the time I got home today, crystal clear.
Good.
The
crystal blue, you would never
if you can reach in, get a big glass, and drink it right up.
You would never know the difference.
That's right.
So that was Friday night.
Wow.
And then Saturday, it was the beginning of what I'm going to call my Mike O'Mara weekend. I've mentioned this to Mike already.
And you haven't given me any real detail about it.
Oh,
you've said you behaved like me. Is that what I'm to understand?
And again, that's not bad.
Right, okay.
That's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that I am so... I've only been to two NASCAR races before.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend and I went to the one up at the Poconos this weekend. And we went on Saturday and on Sunday to soak up the entire experience.
So you saw... Is it the Busch Series? I always like that. What are they racing for when they do that?
The Busch Series.
Just a good old boy.
Big picture of Catherine Bach. The Busch Series race.
Yeah. An indication here of what a good time I had on Saturday.
Right.
You know, normally, if Mike and I take a trip somewhere or I have a weekend, I'm like this. Look at this. I mean, you can attest to this. I've got 8,000 notes of things that I want to talk about and mention.
Right.
Well, please notice that... on Saturday, I was so out of it, in a good way, that that's my girlfriend writing the notes.
Oh, she took the notes.
Well, because I didn't prompt her.
She had to.
She was, well, I said to her at one point.
See, I'd even do it if I had that, if I had somebody to write it down for me.
At one point, I said to her, you know, this would really be... We found out right away that you cannot bring a tape recorder.
Yeah, I
Fox has got all kinds of rules. And, I mean, they've got... I mean, I could have recorded people who were outside the stadium on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But, frankly, I was too drunk on Saturday to remember to do it.
I see.
And then on Sunday, when I tried, they like wouldn't let you in with a tape recorder.
Right.
But on Saturday, at one point, I said to her... This is so good. I got to remember to talk about this. And that's how I said.
Right.
Any paper? And she's like, yes. I mean, she was relatively in control.
Right.
She said, yes, I do. So I said, go write it down. Write this down. And then after I said write down, the first thing was, she said, what's the first thing? And I said, first thing is write down that we were smart enough to bring our own plastic glasses.
I don't understand that.
For our beverages.
Right.
Okay.
I thought you were like wearing some sort of protective goggles.
No, I was thrilled because I thought enough in advance to bring these big industrial strength, like they're 12-ounce glasses.
So you could carry around your own hooch?
Yeah. I mean, that was the beginning of the end for the weekend.
Well, that sounds like a very interesting observation.
So she wrote a lot of stuff down.
And is it all stuff that if you had been writing it down sober, you wouldn't have written it down?
No, some of it I would have, but some of it, no, I would not have.
Are you going to share all of it with us?
Yeah, it's nothing that's terribly embarrassing. It sounds much more like a weekend that you would have than a
what
weekend.
What do you mean, like a drunken, stuporous weekend?
No, again, don't get defensive.
I'm not. I'm trying to find out where you're going with this.
I was happy drunk.
Yeah.
And I was liking all the race people.
Right.
To the point where... I was in people's trailers. I was in people's...
Oh, I see what you're saying. You mean that like, when I'll like insinuate myself into situations?
You went exploring.
I did what normally I look at Mike and I say, how the hell can he do that? How can he... And Mike, I was with people who, if I saw them today, I would probably walk on the other side of the road and probably say... look at that homeless redneck.
Sure.
Yet on Saturday night at about 8:15...
Right.
I had like five of them giving them noogies.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, go on. Yeah. Tony Stewart takes it! Tony Stewart takes it!
It's fun because you're not going to have to see him again, probably. But then sometimes you do.
I gave...
just a good old boy.
I wrote down...
Never mean
I had to have Adrian write it down for me.
Right.
1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS, the number, not the, I mean, the actual whatever it is, 1-800-572, whatever it is.
Right.
Because they were all asking for a phone number. And I said, because I told them after a while.
Like a number to call here?
Yeah. I said, I'm on the radio. Like, we'll call in.
Said, right.
Great. I'm going to give you the special number to get through.
Oh, yeah. But you have presence of mind where you really need to do that, right?
Oh, no. I said, I leaned over to her and I said.
Give him a fake one.
I said,
They're all so doing that today.
She must have handed out hundreds of those. Literally, I
hundreds.
Mean, I'm not kidding. Buzz? Wow.
So you made new
you made
friends.
A lot of friends. I got, listen, I'm positive. I got the cooties. I got the creeping crud. Jesus Christ. Wow.
Were you in trailers or anything like that?
Yes. Let me get to that in a moment.
Okay.
Mike. Okay. We'll break here, and then we'll come back, because this is really worthy of just how low I will go. I mean, not that I didn't have a good time,
yeah.
Right? But the people that I was associating
with... You call it going low. I call it releasing yourself, freeing yourself of inhibition.
Now, there were people there that were... they were all very nice. But there were some people, I mean, like, I was sitting with guys who at one point wanted to pull out their collection of hunting knives.
Yeah.
But they had just... They had just brought... And
can I give you a little warning about what you might want to expect somewhere down the road? You know, when you go to something like that and you say you met a lot of people and you were, you were being like I am when I go to those parties where you hop around and you're everybody's best friend. And I know that because I've done the same thing. Just be aware that somewhere down the road you're going to run into somebody. And they're going to approach you someplace where it's not even related and they're going to bring it up to you. And you're going to have to pretend like you were there when you really don't remember even.
I swear to God, if any of these people ever, if there is a circumstance, oh, God, I don't know. Unless I get arrested coming out of the building today.
Right, right. Well, like in some of the finest penal institutions.
I can't see a circumstance in which I probably would see many of those folks again.
That's why they invented drugstores. It'll be when you least expect it. It'll be when you least expect it, and you'll hear... Don!
Yeah, I mean, it was B.A.D., Jack.
Good for you.
It was B.A.D.
I'm proud of you.
And you had fun.
Oh, it was great fun.
Good.
Jesus Christ, and I'm such an idiot when it comes to cars. You know, but before that, and I know we got a break, but the one guy that really flipped me out was we're sitting outside his bonfire.
Oh. Yeah, buddy.
That's and, you.
Get her done. Get her done.
Yeah, you got a picture of that.
Get her done.
And he says...
Roasting a whole hog.
And he's... No, it was just a bonfire.
Just a bonfire.
And he's got his camper there.
Right.
And we're sitting around and having...
You drinking Jack Daniels out of little tin cups?
No, I'm having my faggot vanilla vodka.
You managed to get that wherever you go?
Brought it with me.
Sure. Oh, good. Because you had your super big glass.
One plastic. We were sitting there. We're actually sitting Indian style.
Bottomless glass of your drink.
Indian style, and it's about 8:15. Starting to get a little dark outside, but it's okay. We're outside the racetrack, and this one guy, whatever his name is, Jethro, says, I got something I've got to show you. Now, he did not have a pronounced southern accent.
Right.
So I've got something I've got to show you.
Right.
Don't go anywhere. And he's talking to me. There's about eight people
right.
sitting around this. So I'm like, I turn to my girlfriend and go.
He slowly went through his fly.
I said, "What? Do you think it's like some radio thing or something like that?" She says, "No, listen, these people don't. Those are people 5 tenths ago that you told you worked on the radio." She says,
right.
These people, they just think you're a regular guy. He comes out with this bag and he goes, "I want you to take a collection of these beautiful hunting knives." And he lays out about 18 knives. And I said, why would you bring hunting knives to a NASCAR event? Why not? I said, what are you going hunting for? He said, nothing. Aren't they beautiful?
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah, and that's when we said...
if he's got hunting knives in his RV, he's got other hardware, too.
Yeah, oh, he's
got guns.
Oh, yeah.
You know he's got all sorts of guns.
Oh, yeah.
Like Easy Rider for you.
Oh, yeah. And boy, Rob, I want to tell you, even in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania, you'd be happy.
Just a good old boy.
Wow.
With the amount of rebel flags that were proudly flying.
That far north.
Were they nice knives?
They reminded me of the knife and Jagged Edge.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That
sure, the big serrated one.
That movie with
like the Bowie knife.
With Glenn Close, yeah.
Right.
And he had a selection of, I don't know.
You can gut a grizzly bear with it.
Yeah, 16, 17. Right, Rob. Pennsylvania's north of the line.
That's true.
That's
true.
I believe so.
North of the Mason-Dixon.
It is north of Mason-Dixon.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
All right. Get her done.
Hey, I was up to that Pocono race. How'd you like it?
Were you there, sir?
Yeah, I was there.
Were you at the race as well?
Yeah, I was up there.
You were there. Was I in your tent?
No, you weren't in my area, but I got to tell you, if it's the first race you've ever gone to...
No, it's not.
you got to go to the Richmond race or out to Bristol. Those are the best tracks ever.
Okay, all right.
Ever.
Thank you, friend. Bye bye. No, I was fortunate enough to go to Daytona once.
He's a fag.
Bye. Bye. He's not a fag.
No, probably not. Get her done.
Best track ever.
And goddamn the other thing.
You enjoyed the race itself.
I love it.
You do.
Our seats were right by turn three. There were only three turns on this racetrack.
Wow.
And it was right by turn three. And
somebody that's a little slow in processing would think after the third turn, the cars just go away.
My girlfriend.
Only three turns.
Company that they sponsor is somehow one of the cars. Anyway, they had a very nice deal where you could go inside this little trailer/suite and you could be in air conditioning and get food and everything.
It's a triangle track.
And then you
get her done.
Then you would go back outside and wait for the pack of cars to come around.
Right.
And you would go outside.
That's part of the deal, right?
It was loud.
Annie, goddamn. We were so close. At one point, really, after the pack of cars went by,
right,
we picked little pieces of rubber off our faces because we were standing directly by the fence, directly where they said, don't stand.
Right.
You know, because if there's a wreck or something, the other
lose an eye.
Was, you know, NASCAR fans. You know, you go there because you like racing, you like watching cars fast.
You like the spectacle.
There's the element of danger.
Sure.
Okay. Jeff Gordon gets in a wreck that right away, as soon as it happens, all these people that we were sitting with, they said, Jesus Christ, that looks like a Dale Earnhardt wreck.
Oh, really?
They're like, boy, the place, hush.
Yee.
Quiet. As soon as he's okay, there was, in the crowd, there was this mixture. It was, of course, the polite. And there was also, you could hear people, now not maliciously, people like, oh.
Disappointed.
Yeah, it's like.
So, well, the, yeah. It,
because
not able to cover up the bloodlust a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have to say, guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah.
Guilty. And I believe what I said that made my girlfriend's boss give me a look. And I was King Mooch, eating his food, drinking his, eating his booze.
Get her done.
You know, he's got his beautiful seats, and we got the free rein. I said, oh, typical. What a ripple.
About the wreck?
Yeah, because Jeff Gordon was okay.
Hard getting your money's worth.
And I can hear you saying that after a few cocktails. Loud enough to make people angry.
What a ripoff.
What a ripoff. He lived.
Turns out he said, what a jip.
Well, Jeff Gordon, the way I understand it, not the most popular of drivers either, right?
He's got his fans, Mike.
He does have his fans.
Mm-hmm. I bought some of his memorabilia.
I'd get rubber stuck in my teeth if I brought them. Get her done!
Yeah. Just a good old boy.
All right, we'll break here, and we'll come back and tell you about the weekend. And boy, lots to get to. Lots. Oh, and also, I'll tell you, you know it is not 24 season anymore.
Right.
Somebody doesn't know that.
Really?
Really?
Really? Somebody doesn't know it's not 24 season?
That's right. Somebody still thinks he has a spot on today's show.
Oh, that poor man.
Really?
That man, yes.
That man.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And yes, Rob, he's out of ICU.
That's good news.
He's out of ICU.
I had no idea he was dropping by.
Yeah. Well, I just had that thought a second ago, wrote it down.
Get her done. Get her done, Jack.
Are you insane?
Are you insane? That's classified. The triangular track.
We got him. See, won't that? That'll be. Now, to me, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's a funny idea. Where's my segment? It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, Jack. Damn it. Why aren't we talking to me about why I wasn't featured?
We will do this and be right back, friends.
Jesus.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
Good invention. The pill. The pill. That's a good invention. Just for the fact that everybody here... Yeah, you little slut. Just for the fact... Just for the fact that everybody here knows exactly which pill I'm talking about. That's impressive. I give you the and a very vague noun. Everybody's on board. That's impressive. It also tells you where our priorities are as a country. That's the pill. You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of pills. There's 1,000 pills, but that's the pill. There's a pill that keeps you from getting polio. That's not the pill. Yeah, take this, it'll save your life. Take this, you don't have to buy condoms. Well, that's the pill.
The Don and Mike Show.
Be in love and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Patty, we're back. We're talking about Roethlisberger later. About that whole thing. Although, if I hear one more goddamn TV or radio guy go, the irony is, he's required to wear a helmet on Sundays.
Oh, God, yeah.
When he's playing for the Steelers, yep, he doesn't have to when he drives a motorcycle in Pennsylvania.
That's the big story. And how many angles of that car can we get? You know, and the motorcycle, and the trashed motorcycle.
Car looked like AJ Soprano's car after Tony hit it with the helmet.
Yeah, only if Tony had continued on down to the the side of the door.
It was a New Yorker. It was a Chrysler New Yorker.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't go up against one of those.
No, not with one of those little crotch rockets. No.
A New Yorker. We were with New Yorkers last night.
We're all from Brooklyn.
At one point. Yeah. Mike and I had a good meeting with these Infinity jerk-offs, and at one point, or CBS, I'm sorry, they changed the name of the company all
right.
the time. At one point, Mike just said, so where are you guys from?
Well, see, I'm a dialect guy, and they were subtle. We knew the head guy was in New York,
right?
Because he talked about that, and we'd met him, but we hadn't met the other two guys. And we're talking, and everybody at this table's talking, and I suddenly realize everybody we're talking to has the same kind of accent, and it's very, very hard on the one particular guy to hear it, but I hear it just enough,
right.
So I decided to bring it up, because I said, you guys are all from New York, right? And it was like, New York! Brooklyn!
And
they all were, and suddenly we felt just a little bit outside.
Yeah. But one good thing, among all the good things that happened, at least at this dinner we had last night with these JOs, was that they signed off on everything with the studios. And I went to our new studios on Saturday on my way up to the Poconos. And we're about a month away from completion.
which is pretty normal for us anyway.
Yeah, we're slow.
It normally takes a long time.
When we're younger. That's why we're so good with the chicks.
That's why we give women so much pleasure.
Right. It takes us a month to get off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really, the stuff that they've done, for instance, we have neighbors. One of the segments we're going to do is, on a regular basis, meet the neighbors and talk to the neighbors.
Right.
Because there are other people, other businesses. There's a doctor. There's a chiropractor.
Sure.
There's a dentist. And we have wireless microphones. Now, they've built into the ceiling, into the roof, through the ceilings, antennas for the wireless microphones.
Perfect.
They did a test on Saturday. Now, where our new studios, where we're going to broadcast from in about a month, will be, are right by a major highway in Rockville, Maryland, called Rockville Pike.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go across this 4-lane death strip and
taking your life in your own hands.
And there's everything over there. There's Best Buy. There's a big giant food store. There's a Borders. The microphone, a wireless microphone held by URI works.
Right.
But more importantly, a microphone held by Joe works. Now, are we all in agreement that one of the best bits Letterman does, and he did it again recently,
right,
is when he sends Rupert out, and Rupert's got the thing in his ear, and he's talking to Letterman,
right,
and he says whatever Letterman tells him to say.
Sure. Right.
Like, for instance, they did this last week on the Letterman. This is a blatant ripoff. I don't care. It's a brilliant concept, and it's so funny when Letterman does it. He sends Rupert G. into this Starbucks, and Letterman's got watching him on this hidden camera, and he can hear Letterman in his ear. And as someone's walking in, Letterman says to him, "Tell him we're closed."
And that was the best part right there. You could have said something more shocking, but when he says to this one lady, "We're closed," or actually, it's a guy. The first one he says, "It's a guy," and the guy gives him this look as he sees everybody inside. As a matter of fact, we walked by that Starbucks yesterday, and it was hysterical.
Now the beauty of this, and I was telling this to my girlfriend on Saturday when we were looking at this place. I said, Mike and I can be sitting out here on the front porch, or we could even go up on the roof where we'll have a roof studio.
Right.
If we want to get binoculars, we can really look at Joe.
Right.
Otherwise, and as long as he's out in public with a sign that says CBS Radio,
right,
I am broadcasting live,
mm-hmm,
If people don't want to talk to him, they don't got to talk to him.
Exactly.
And what's great is because he'll have the headphones on.
We can tell him to say whatever we want.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. That'll excite him about as much as his vacuum cleaner does.
I don't know.
That really got Joe going today, huh?
Joe is out of his mind. I have not seen that enthusiasm from Joe for anything, but when you got him talking about his vacuum cleaner, he was out of his mind. Just now, just during the break.
You can see the dirt. That's what he likes.
That's what he likes. He's got the kind where you can see the dirt. It doesn't go into a bag. You can actually see the dirt, and he says he'll vacuum 3 and 4 times to see how much dirt. You know, he'll go the first time, it fills it all the way up, then halfway, then a third. Out of his mind. Going
the life
crazy.
Of Joe.
This was very important to him. He said he doesn't look at it as like something, a chore. He looks at it as a household tool, like a power tool that a guy would have.
Mm-hmm. Well, time to bring him to the new place.
All
right.
He could do all the vacuuming there.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, because they are doing massive construction. Anyway, these studios, from our standpoint, for what we do for the final time, because you're probably sick of hearing it, it's just going to make the show a lot better.
Cool.
I mean, really, we're going to have all brand new state-of-the-art equipment, microphones that go forever. We'll have a whole different group of people to interact with from our neighbors to people across the street, to being right by a major highway. We've got a nice big grassy knoll right out front of the radio station.
For all of our wonderful stunts.
Right. Reminds me of the grassy knoll that we had over at Wavell 105.
Wonderful. That'll be fun.
So anyway, that's all great. Now, the NASCAR thing.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to go right to my girlfriend's notes. Which incidentally,
she wrote for you.
She wrote on a puke bag.
That's why would you have a barf bag?
Well, what she did was she had. She carries a lot of stuff in her purse.
If she carries those.
Well, no, it's not really a barf bag. What it is, you can see it's from a vet hospital. It's some medicine.
Oh yeah,
medicine for her dog.
Uh-huh.
And she
not
just
a stool bag.
No, it's smell it, ass.
No, I didn't think it had been used.
No, make him smell it.
No, you don't. Yeah, smell it. Yeah, smell it.
Maybe it's been used once.
No, it's not.
Remember, that came from a NASCAR race.
That's true.
Anyway, maybe it does smell like stool. I said to her, you got anything to write on? She said, well, I've got this bag that my dog's meds came in. I said, perfect. I said, and she said, and if you feel like you're going to get sick and you don't want to embarrass yourself in front of people,
right,
I've got a barf bag for you.
Right,
isn't
it?
So anyway, so we bring our plastic glasses. This is maybe the most important move of the day.
Okay. These are giant plastic glasses?
These are 12-ounce plastic glasses. But I'm determined not to drink whatever warm, donkey number one smelling beer it is that most people are drinking.
Okay.
And frankly, I don't really think I'm going to be able to find vanilla vodka.
So did you bring your own hooch?
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own little mini bar set up in the back of my car.
Okay.
And we got to the racetrack. We left about 10 o'clock, stopped by the new studios, got up there about 3.
Okay.
We get there 3 or 3:30. We go right to the racetrack. Right to the racetrack because we want to hang around with the people.
Right.
And we're feeling good about ourselves because we've read the weather. It's going to be cool. It was like only 47 on Saturday.
Nighttime race.
No, it was a daytime race.
Oh, it was.
Sunday.
Okay, all right.
But even during the day.
No, but I mean the Saturday one was a nighttime race, right?
Yeah, but even during the day on Saturday, the high temp up there was only like 54.
Okay, wow. What time did the race start?
7:30, okay. Something like that. But during the day when we got up there early, it was cold. It was also cold on Sunday as well. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to that in a second. That's an important part of where the first NASCAR fan that I met was this jerk from Philly, and it was really, really funny. So we get up there and we find a place to park, and we rounded up every illegal alien in this country and made them live in some type of a tent city.
Okay.
That's all I could say. It is its own separate city.
People make a 3-day weekend out of it.
Yeah. Some people have been there, we found out, 8 or 9 days.
Wow.
Waiting for these races.
Wow.
So she says, we're going to get our own little bar. We know where the car is.
Are there people that tour with NASCAR that actually travel from race to race?
There are. We met them. So we fix our own drinks, right? Little crayon light and a little more vanilla vodka.
So you're beginning your tailgating.
Right. And we start walking around with the drinks, and we're feeling good, and we go back to the car, and we refill, and we're walking around. And it's cold. Like I said, like 47.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there are these stands where they sell every type of friggin' merchandise in the world. So I'm standing outside the Tony Stewart stand, and, you know,
they have a Tony Stewart doll?
Yeah, they have bobbleheads. Yeah, they do. And I was really, you know, I was saying, How retarded would I look if I bought that jacket? I said, really? I'd never wear that jacket.
Right.
She said, you'd wear it today. I said, I'd wear it today because I'm drunk. I have a jacket on now.
Was it one of those killer jackets, one of those real expensive ones?
No, it's one that looked like what one of the guys in his crew would wear.
Okay, so
it's one of those big goddamn...
nylon jackets.
Orange, Home Depot, look like a retard thing.
Is Tony Stewart your driver?
Yeah, I like him.
Okay.
And he looked like he could be working on the stop slow thing, or you'd be out hunting thing, just hideous. I didn't end up getting it, but I was standing there debating it. A guy from Philly came up, and let me see, what did she write here? Oh, guy from Philly bitching about Tampa. Oh, okay. All right. So we're just standing there looking, and this guy comes up and announces that he's from Philadelphia. That's how we know. He walks up to the girl behind the counter and says, hello, I'm from Philly. Right? And everybody kind of stops, and he says, what is the effing deal? Last year, I was here at this race. It was 98 effing degrees. It's 47 effing degrees now. And I got to buy this stuff to stay warm.
He's not happy.
Now, at this point, I can see that my girlfriend wants to say something to him.
And he doesn't fit what most people have, the stereotypical NASCAR.
No, it doesn't sound
no.
Like it.
He was very mad, and she wanted to say something to him. I know she. So I grabbed her, you know, by the back of her neck.
Pulled the hair back, snapped her
no,
head
No, I
back.
Grabbed her by a...
Shut up!
By her collar, like, chill out, just watch this guy. He's like, all right, I tell you what, I'm cold, so I will do you a favor, and I will buy one of them sweatshirts, and then I would like that, not, that, what kind of hat is that? And then she says to him, that is a winter hat. That's a ski hat. Uh-huh. He says, is it a ski mask? She says, no, it's a winter hat.
Right.
It's a wool hat. You know, he says,
and you're in the Poconos, you're up in the mountains.
Uh-huh. I'll take those. So she goes, okay. And she rings it up and whatever. Now, this is where the guy really just loses it. She goes, whatever, you know, $62. He goes, 62 effing dollars. 62 effing dollars. And he's not there with anybody.
He's just screaming.
He's not there with fans.
Is he doing it to no. get himself noticed,
no,
or is he doing it because he's legitimately pissed?
He is drunk.
Right,
and he is pissed,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting so mad at this girl that's working behind the counter.
Right,
he finally says, "Screw it, I'll live without the sweatshirt. How much is the hat?" And she says, $19.95.
Oh. Is he kidding me?
He said, "Okay," lays down the $20,
uh-huh.
Then says, "Where's my change?" Right, and she gives him the change. He puts on the hat now. It's one of those wool-like old-time wintery hats. You know the,
yeah.
do you know the type I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, kind of a blue winter with like a logo on it, maybe with just a number on it.
Yeah, it's got number 20 on it. Now, he's got it pulled at this sideway, jaunty angle that makes him look, seriously, like a mongoloid.
He's got really? Hats here.
He's drunk enough, and he's sloppy enough, and he's wearing the hat at such an angle that people are not looking at him now like he's some out-of-control monster. It's
no.
almost like, and he turns and he says, out of everybody in the crowd,
right.
he turns to my girlfriend, who's not said a thing, about 20 feet away, uh-huh. and goes, what are you laughing at?
I frankly think you look like a mongoloid in that hat.
I'm standing there and I said, she's not laughing at anything. Was I talking to you?
Oh, is he a large man?
He is a gigantic, I mean, not fat, he is a gigantic tree trunk of a man.
Okay, so he's a big man who could
crush me.
Crush you.
He's drunk and he could crush me.
Are his arms exposed from the shoulder down?
No, he has on, Buzz, you'd like this, he had on a tiny, tiny shirt.
Ah.
And celebrity he most resembles, yeah. Vin Diesel with hair.
Wearing chains? Is he wearing gold?
Nope. He,
wallet chain, maybe.
Oh, I thought you meant like hanging. No, yes,
no
he
is
had,
he wearing, does he got
the
jewelry?
Around the Guido stuff,
right.
yeah.
yeah.
And he's got the big guns. Okay, so
right.
I didn't picture him being there. He's like, what are you laughing at? She's like, nothing. And what are you looking at? And I go, nothing. And then, you know, because I'm already feeling like Joe Pussy.
Do you know, seriously, when a guy says that to you, have I ever told you what you do in that situation?
What's that?
If he says specifically those words, what are you looking at?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the way you handle this situation. You stop, you maybe wait two beats. You kind of squint one eye, but keep it open and keep the other one open full. And you look him in the eye like this. He says, what are you looking at? And you look right at him and you go, look at him and say, a dead man.
Maybe that works for you.
That would not work for me.
I'm just joshing. I'm standing there, and this is kind of played out now. By
right.
Now it's played out. And
so did you feel when he said that to you like he was maybe looking for somebody to go with?
Yeah, I mean, sure. He was, and there's no doubt that, I mean, I was goofing on him behind his back.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he was talking real loud and stuff, I was going like to my girlfriend and the other people, I was going, you know,
right.
Like, you know, doing the mouthy thing, and he couldn't mm-hmm. see me. So I feel emaciated. I feel like a pussy. I don't stand up for my girlfriend.
Emasculated.
Emasculated.
Right.
Thank you. What did I say?
Right. Emaciated. He
right.
wasn't taking any weight off you. He was just making you feel like a
no,
girl.
No, correct. And then to make matters worse, so he's still just standing there. It's like awkward. He's standing there, and there are some people, and I'm still debating whether I'm going to buy something or not.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy who's got to weigh soaking wet, maybe 78 pounds. Guy walks up with his two kids. Guy looks like a stick figure, really. Walks up to the guy and says, excuse me, I'm here with my family, and NASCAR is a family event, and I don't appreciate the way you talk, and I don't appreciate the way you talk to people. And if you got a problem, how about you and I step behind this tent?
Wow.
And this guy, whoa! This guy literally is 4 feet tall, right? And Big Vin Diesel says, hey, I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm terribly sorry. It's like he's doing it pathetically, but he's
backing down to the guy.
But he walks away.
Yeah.
You know, I really
he
believe...
He walks away. You've probably had this situation. When you have your kids and you're a father standing up for your children, that is, I don't care what the circumstance, that's a legitimate, you know, pride of the lions kind of moment.
Right. So this is why I like my girlfriend. He walks away. The guy from Philly walks away, and the other guy walks up with his kids, and she says, thank God there was a real man around to protect me.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's funny.
Did you laugh out loud at
yeah,
that?
Of course I did.
That
of course
is
I
too
did.
Funny.
Then I bought my two...
Was he causing people around there to cower a little bit?
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because he was so loud and obnoxious.
A gigantic man. And then I bought my two tubes of Tony Stewart personal lubricant. And we were out of there.
Excellent.
And this is now where it gets... This is where it gets very Mike-ish.
Oh, God.
Okay, so I'm at the racetrack long enough now that all inhibitions are gone. All these people that I'm meeting, they're all my friends.
Right. Drink those inhibitions away.
Now, these, generally speaking, are people who I imagine eat possums 7 nights a week. Yet, for whatever reason, I'm going in their tents. I'm going by their bonfires. Now here we go.
Here's shaking hands. Hey buddy, pick a winner, get her done.
Here's the next thing that my girlfriend wrote down: drunk Yahtzee. Now,
hey.
I don't like board games to begin with.
Okay.
I mean, even around the holidays,
right,
when my family plays board games,
right,
I hate it. We go by one; these people, they have a Tony Stewart flag up,
mm-hmm,
and they've got a tent. And they say, I stick my head and I go, any number 20 fans in here? Because that's the way I am.
Well, like, you're well on your way if you're doing that.
So they're like, come on in, we love Tony. So I say to Adrian, and at this point, I'm
you
saying,
like to yell when you've got, I just realized you like to do a little, yeah.
Yeah.
No. I got one of those last night. Do you remember that?
No.
I don't know what we were walking by. It was some Irish pub we walked by with the door open. And we're walking back to the hotel, and you're just you just had enough where you leaned in. And we'd had a really good meeting. And we came walking out, and you leaned in the Irish bar and just pulled a, yeah!
I don't know what's going on with me.
Well, no, it's not like you were struggling.
Struggling.
But I can see you doing this. I can see you doing this.
So I say to Adrian, come here, honey. Be a love. Go get some more drinks.
Okay.
She says, where's the car? I don't know. So she says,
you're in the tent city.
She says, give me the boop boop thing. So I give her the keys,
mm-hmm,
and she's off to find a drink. She comes back, great girlfriend, like 10 minutes later. She's got two drinks. She comes back. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm playing Yahtzee. And they say, he doesn't know how to play Yahtzee.
Yeah.
I said, I never played before. what's Yahtzee? And as it turns out, gosh, you can get a full house, you can get four of a kind.
I don't think I've ever played Yahtzee.
You fill out the top of the sheet and then the...
Doesn't have little pieces that you move? Is that
no, you roll, no, you roll five dice.
Ah, okay.
Five dice.
Yahtzee, wandering around in Shantytown.
We used our hand. We didn't use any of your fancy cup.
City cup.
Down home Yahtzee.
All I know is that then at one point, they're still explaining this to me. Now, keep in mind, it's me, Mr. I Can't Stand
It wasn't Yahtzee for money, was it?
Oh, no, it was a dollar a hand.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was a dollar a game, you know, God knows how much I lost because I really didn't understand how to play.
Right.
And at one point, I couldn't even, my eyes are so bad, and I was just so out of it. I made Adrian go back to, I don't want to say made her. I said, where are my glasses? She's like, they're in the car. I said, would you please go, I can't read. It's too small to read the Yahtzee thing.
The scorecard.
So she goes and she gets the...
You've played Yahtzee, Buzz?
Oh, yeah, many times.
This was just, I mean...
Rob, I don't think it's because of that.
I do.
Yeah, because of the weed?
Yeah.
No, with Buzz? I don't think so. But it was just hard to believe that I'd be sitting around. Celebrity that these people most resembled, all of them, Boomhauer. From King of the Hill.
You know, I'm going to play Yahtzee. I'm going to click. I'm going to get a Yahtzee, and I'm going to get a reading glass, read that Yahtzee game board.
So we go by, we play Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm. You walk into a tent full of total strangers,
and
suddenly you're sitting at the game?
Because I see that they have a flag outside that says Tony Stewart.
Are you wearing any Tony Stewart anything? Do you have anything?
I had a Tony Stewart T-shirt on.
Okay.
Yeah. And at that point, I just, like I said, I opened up and go, any 20 fans in here? And right away it was, come on in. Come on in.
So, and is that how it works with NASCAR?
That
you see people that are supporting your driver?
Here's the weirdest, creepiest part. Okay, I'm glad my girlfriend wrote it down just like this.
Was it Strip Yahtzee?
No, it was not.
All right.
The Ricky and Lucy trailer. We're trying to find the car. She's fine. I've had a little bit too much to drink to drive.
Right.
She's fine. So we're navigating our way through this sea of people trying to find our car. And we go past these people. It's like a big old-fashioned 1950s.
Is this before you even go into the race?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes. Big old-fashioned silver, you know, trailer. Like
like
you haul around. I go.
Like one of those old Airstreams?
Yes. So we stand in there for a second. She's still looking for the car. Meanwhile, now, again, this is just not the way I am. The man, who is about 60, wearing his boxers and an undershirt, holding a can of beer, comes to the screen door and says, it's a beauty, isn't it? I said, God, it's great. He said, would you like to see it? I said, would I?
He's in his underwear?
He's got his boxer shorts on, his NASCAR boxer shorts.
Well, right.
And he's got a wife beater on.
Right.
And his wife is there, and she's dressed normal, but, you know, they're 60.
But it's just a friendly environment.
So he said...
Everybody's recreating, enjoying
camping,
the same
relaxing,
thing.
Yeah.
He says, do you want to come in? I say, sure. So
that's when he shuts the door and bolt locks it in back to you.
This is just so not me.
I
go in and sit down, and I'm getting this guy's entire, oh, my name is Fred, and this is my wife, Myrtle, and we live down south of Atlanta. We go to all the races, and can we get you something to drink? I said, no, I'm fine. My girlfriend will be coming back any second. Then I realized, hold on, she doesn't know where I am.
Yeah.
So
you've walked into a strange trailer.
So, yeah.
Come on,
squeal.
Yeah.
Squeal.
Had to happen.
So what happens is...
Don Geronimo stars in Missing.
I have to go, I say, give me just a second.
The great race.
And I go out on the front porch, and now... Front porch. I mean, I'm on the steps, on the wooden steps.
Watch you make yourself comfortable. Get her done.
I'm standing there like a retard. And keep in mind, everybody's yelling and screaming, and there's music, and I'm going, like out of Rocky. I'm going, Eddie! Hey, where are you? Aaron! And some guy...
This is so unlike you that you're walking into a complete stranger's trailer.
Some guy who I, at that moment, I thought I had never met before, was walking by and said, hey, Mike. So he called me by my real name, right?
Yeah.
And I do a dog, like, yeah? He said... Your girlfriend's looking for you about two blocks over that way. She's by a red trailer. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Kevin.
I'm the
white rabbit.
I'm the drunk wrangler.
Dick, whatever.
I'm the drunk wrangler. Don, we're going to need you to step into this wagon.
He said, don't you remember? You ate some of my pig.
And was that back at the bonfire?
And I said, oh, and I treated him like he's my long lost friend. I said, oh, you're the guy with the pig on the spigot. Man, was that good. God, was that good.
And now
the old guy's come out.
Fresh tapped pig.
The old guy comes out and he's like, hi. And I said, this is my friend. I'm pointing up. Kevin.
Yeah. The sun's not even totally down yet, right?
Nope. So the guy goes and finds my girlfriend,
right?
Brings him back, and it's at this point that we hear it's all happening inside, right?
They're getting ready to race.
Getting ready to race. Now, just the prelim,
right?
And we've been there about 5 hours already.
Wow.
When you said prelim, you mean before the actual Friday night race starts?
Saturday night, yeah.
Saturday night race.
Because Sunday was the big McGilla. Sunday
was
the big
NASCAR, race. The real guys.
So as we were walking towards the racetrack to get inside, I said to her, oh, my God. She said, what's wrong? I said, where's that barf bag? And she said, well, I've been writing notes on it. I said, I really think I'm going to need it.
Oh.
And she said,
you felt like you'd had enough where you were going to be sick?
Yeah, she said, Well, hold on a second. And she was standing there going through her
purse. Was it a combination of all the food and drink?
Yes, it was. Yeah. And it was just everything. And she was going through her purse. And, God bless these NASCAR fans. Like, I guess it happens all the time.
Sure.
I just stood there in the middle of, there had to be 20,000 people trying to get inside the stadium. We were about 200 yards from the door where the line started. And I just said, hold on, stop. I don't feel good. Can you find that? And the next thing was, bleh.
Yeah.
Blah, and I mean, it just starts coming.
This is before the
we did
checkered flag or the yellow flag or the green flag. It's the Technicolor flag.
Yeah, what I was doing was returning the pig.
Wow,
you were done with it.
But I'm sure that probably made your head feel a little bit better too. Probably cleared you up a little bit.
We decided not to go on Saturday's race.
I hit the trash bag. Get her done. Then you screamed Yahtzee.
So we decided that, she says, you know what? We should probably go back to the hotel tonight.
So you didn't even make it into the first race?
No. We'll go back to the hotel.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll come back to the track. We won't party quite as much. You'll meet my boss. We'll have a good time. We'll go to the suite. We'll go to the racer. I'm like, okay, that's good. Where's the car?
Were you guys going to spend the whole night out there?
We were going to go to
the hotel. You're always going to go back to the hotel.
We're going to go back to the hotel eventually.
Right.
So we get back to the hotel, and here's a shock. It's 9:45,
yeah.
And all I know is that
you're 15 minutes away from your normal bedtime. Right?
Here's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
She says to me, take your socks off. And I said, I can't move. She said, come on, take your socks off. I was just laying on top of the bed, covers and everything. She couldn't even...
Face down?
Yeah. Ass up, right.
I just was wondering where you were face down. So you're ready to go out. You're out.
You bet. And then she said, come on, just take your socks off.
Consciousness is saying goodbye.
I said, just leave. And then she made the cardinal mistake. She said, all right, I'll just take them off. And it was like at that moment, I woke up and I became sober. I was like, hey, what's the number one rule? What's the number one rule? Don't touch my feet! Don't touch my feet!
I wish to pass out with my socks on.
So that was that. We go to bed, and like I said, 9:45 we go to bed. 2:15 a.m. Now the hotel where we are at, incidentally, everywhere, welcome race fans.
Yep, okay, sure.
2:15
race fans, hot rodders.
2:15 a.m. Phone rings in the hotel room.
Huh.
I pick it up. Half asleep, still drunk. Well, he goes. It's very loud. It's very loud. Sounds like maybe from the club in this hotel. Yeah. Somebody says, this is the front desk. We got complaints that we hear lots of loud noise and banging from this room. What's going on? And I said, what are you talking about? I went to bed at 9:45. We haven't... Hello? Hello? And now I turn the light on, right?
Uh-huh.
And my girlfriend goes, who was on the phone? I said, the front desk. So I pick up, I call it, and it goes... Front desk, how may I help you? I said, did you just call my room? No, I did not, sir. I said, because somebody's called my room. Well, I'm the only one here. I can't imagine what... It is a race weekend, would you like a do not disturb on your phone? I said, that'd be great. Thank you. Have a good night. And then what we hear is, so now we're laying in bed in this hotel room. We're both awake, waiting to go back to sleep. And we hear the phone ring in the room next to us.
Ah, oh, somebody's just effing with people.
And then 5 minutes later, she says, listen. And because it's so quiet, it's 2:30 in the morning.
He's just making the rounds.
There is somebody drunk that's just calling everybody individually.
You were in the Poconos. That's Pennsylvania?
Yep.
You weren't in Sacramento.
No, we were not, Mike.
You sure?
I know it sounds like it.
It sounds like Sacramento to me. If it was Sacramento, they'd wait 2 hours later.
So we get to the race on Sunday. It's great. I'm feeling good.
Good. Did you have a good breakfast?
We ate at Perkins, so you know it's got to be good.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Hearty meal.
Good stuff. It's good and good for you. So we got there, and it was the combination of the previous day and that wonderful Perkins pig intestine, whatever it was that I had for deep fried for breakfast.
And
I got there, and I thought I shouldn't drink vodka again. So
I can't beat what I ate last night.
What's ripe? Mike had tripe last night.
That's right.
At the never had restaurant.
That's intestine. Right? That's a little stomach lining.
Ah.
Yeah.
So we got there. Let me just finish up real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got there, and now we got to, meet her boss and everything.
Right.
Who's the guy that got us all this. So I'm, putting on my best, hi, how you doing? Yes, nice to meet you.
How do you do?
I got the gigantic bag under my eyes, and I'm still.
How many hours, between the interrupted sleep, how many hours did you get?
Oh, maybe three.
Three.
I mean, because, you know, a drunk sleep is not a really restful sleep.
Well, and I find any time in a hotel, if you're not 100%, exhausted, you're going to have trouble.
So we're going outside, and we're going in between the little suite area and outside by turn number 3.
Pale as the movie powder.
And at one point, it just, I don't know why it moves me like this. I just said to her, I said, you know what? That's it. We got to go.
Yeah.
She's like, why do we got to go? I say, because we got to go. I said,
too much day.
I said, just everybody now. I said, everybody's too loud. She's like, but my boss is here. I said, okay, I'll go over to him. And I said, I promise I'll smooth it over with him.
That's a tough deal because really, what time is that race going to end on Sunday?
About 6:30.
That's a long day.
Traffic.
I mean, to get back and think about work and all that.
I said to her, listen, don't worry about it. I'll go talk to him, tell him what a great time I had. And I did. And tell him, I said, I will make up some fantastic, about the dogs
right.
or something. Or
right.
The fact that here's why I walked up to the guy. I said, Scott. Shook his hand. I said, Scott. And I gave him the double clasp, Clinton, handshake.
Yeah, sincere.
I want you to know what a great time we had. I said, unfortunately, Adrian's feeling a little under the weather, so I'm going to take her home and take care of her. She's been here today because she really...
Does she know that you're using her?
No, she's got no idea.
That's bad planning right there.
She has, and hold on.
You have to coordinate the line.
Tell me, hold on, please. Tell me about it, because, of course, what does happen to me? Because I say, so we really got to get out. I said... Thank you. She's only been here because she feels so poorly. I think she's got a touch of the flu. We're going to get... And he's like, okay, it was nice to meet you. Uh-huh. Thank you very much.
Good.
I go over back to her because now we're inside this crowded little area that's air-conditioned with booze. So you're not by the car going 200 miles an hour.
Right.
And I walk back over and I say, okay, we're cool. I talked to him. I told him the whole thing. Told him I felt like crap. It's on me. I did tell him I had a great time. I said, okay. She said, all right, well, let's go. And we started to walk out. And she said, oh, hold on. Crap. I wanted to get 2 T-shirts for her nephews. So I don't even think about this. And I just see from across the room, she walks past the boss. And again, I'm just not registering on all 8 cylinders. Mentally, I'm not. I'm seeing this happen. I'm just standing by the door. And I'm almost getting incensed. My foot is tapping,
Come on.
I already said goodbye to the guy. Come on. She comes over, and she gives me, and I already know this, the phony smile.
Uh-huh.
And so she goes, are you ready to go? I said, what's wrong? She said, absolutely nothing.
Uh-huh.
Let's get out of here. You're ready to go, aren't you? Let's get out. I said, what's wrong? She said, nothing. Please just leave, okay?
That's good. In the car.
Thank you. So we get outside. And she actually rolled up her program and hit me in the back of the head.
Because you were the one that was going to claim the illness.
She said to me, I don't mind if you tell him that I'm sick, but you got to tell me that.
Yeah, right.
Because my boss said to me,
how you feeling?
Said, I'm sorry you're not feeling well. And she said, Are you kidding? I feel great.
Busted.
Oh, yeah.
Busted.
So then I could, here's the last, I couldn't yell at her. Obviously, I mean, the doghouse, and I couldn't yell at her. The only other opportunity that I had to, because you know how it is. I mean, I'm dating somebody, and I'm familiar enough with her now that it's right, like, right. Okay, I've got a bad mark against me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting for her to do anything where it, like, things will even out so that.
You want her to do something, and you're counting on it maybe on the ride home.
Good luck.
And she came up with a beauty. Ah. I can't take total, it was a dual thing. We're on the way home, and really, she has the bladder of a hummingbird. It seems to me every 15 minutes is can right. we stop and go to the bathroom.
Sure.
So we're making really good time on, I think it's I-81, and we're coming back, and like the speed limit's 65, and they're like 72, cruise control. Nobody. She says, I got to pee so bad. Can you stop at the next exit? I said, sure. Next exit's a mile away, and it says, Arby's, 2 miles this way.
And that's where you always want to do that.
Yeah. Whatever
at Arby's.
Whatever hotel, 2 miles this way. I say, where do you want to pee? Arby's or a hotel? She says, go to the hotel. So we drive 2 miles to the hotel. She goes in and she pees. She comes back. As we're getting back on the interstate, we're talking, and I don't know what it is. It's right. back and forth, and now we're driving, and everything's just fine, and I see a sign that says, Hershey, Pennsylvania, events, next exit. And I say to her, hold on a second. I said, Hershey, God damn it, we passed this an hour ago. She said, which way are we going? And I push the thing on the GPS in the car, and it says, I-81 North. I said, Jesus Christ. And it was only because I had been such an ass earlier, I said, you made us go the wrong way. And she said, you're driving. I said, you're the one that got the tickets for the thing. You're the one that had to pee.
Maybe I didn't explain the concept of the navigator to you.
I said, you got to stop every 5 minutes and pee. We stopped and peed. We're going the wrong way. I said, does your...
Is this one of those kind of highways that they're like 15, 16 miles between it?
Yes, where you have no idea, just no freaking idea.
Right.
And I started saying to her, aren't you from Pennsylvania? She said, now what does that have to do with it? I said, well, you certainly should know. And I'm not talking like this. I'm not drunk.
For God's sakes, the bushes on the north side just look like the bushes on the south side.
So we finally make the turnaround.
That's a rather significant error.
Yeah, that added 2 hours.
Yeah.
That added 2 full hours.
Not
to
fun
our,
on a Sunday.
To our drive.
With a hangover.
Yeah. And NASCAR, buddy. Hey, buddy. How about you, NASCAR?
Who won the race? Do you know who won the race?
No idea. No idea.
Wow. Man. That guy with the Airstream camper.
Some guy.
You were friendly to strangers. You played.
Oh, I know who won. The FedEx guy won. The guy in the FedEx car won.
The FedEx guy?
Whoever he is.
Right.
That's all I know. It's a black car.
So over this weekend, you were friendly to strangers, you played Yahtzee, and you lied poorly. Who are you?
Oh, and also the other thing that I did,
yes?
That I know that did not endear me to the people that my girlfriend works for.
Oh, right.
We got there early enough on Sunday that just like when I was in Daytona and I had the pass from Fox, I could actually go into a very limited view of the pit area.
Okay.
And what happens is I was right by the car or one of the cars that they have a backup car in case the first one breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the backup car, but it looks just like the other one, and it's fancy as hell. And I was just standing there with her saying, God damn, that's great. I said, dude, do me a favor. Take a picture of me by this car, because I had my picture taken once by Darrell Waltrip's car when I was down in Daytona. So she said, I don't know if you should. I said, come on, I promise. I won't do anything. I said, so it's like me standing there going, ta-da!
Yee!
And then I couldn't help myself. I said, just get one of me behind the wheel. Just one. And she said, I said, come on, it'll take no time. Now, keep in mind.
Let me take it for one spin around the triangle track.
The doors don't open.
Right.
You know, they're welded shut.
Yeah.
You got to climb in.
That's right. You got to get in like Starsky and Hutch.
So I climb in the car.
Uh-huh.
And she's standing there with the camera. And she goes, okay, ready? And smile. And she puts the camera away. And I'm
was it difficult to get into it?
No, it was pretty easy. I mean, it was...
pretty cool when you were inside of it?
It was fantastic.
All sorts of technology.
No, you know, amazingly, not as much as you would think.
Oh, pretty lean?
I mean, it's like a bare bones. I don't know if it's just because that was the backup car or
no,
whatever.
I mean, it hasn't changed that much. It's a combustion engine.
I mean, it's got the gas, it's got the clutch, it's got the shifter, it's right. got the... You know. Anyway, her boss wasn't even there. It was someone from the race team.
Okay.
And this is how I know, because they had on one of the race uniforms.
XM or Sirius? In the car.
Mike, of course, it would be serious.
And, of course, two vanity mirrors. That's very important.
Anyway, that little bit of fun ended when I heard from around the corner, "What are you doing?"
Oh, dear.
And it was a guy that was wearing one of the suits, like a member of the crew, right?
Yeah. Oh, no.
A member of his pit crew.
Yeah.
And now my girlfriend by this point has moved away from the car, and it's just me sitting in this car.
Right.
And he said... "What are you?" And his exact words are, "Get your ass out of that car. What are you doing?" I'm sorry. And I pull out, I've got the little VIP pass around my neck, and I say,
"It's okay. I stayed in a Comfort Inn last night."
Right. And basically, what he said is that he said, "That pass allows you to go to that area over there where you stand behind the yellow line, and it's a very select group of people who are allowed to come this close to the pit area. You are not supposed to come in and get inside the vehicle." I mean, the guy was...
So he went nuts.
Yeah. The guy was P-I-S-S-E-D.
Yeah.
And of course, what a stupid ass I am.
Should have looked at him and said, "I didn't drive it."
The stupid
ass. Okay, Mr. Man.
However, the picture's pretty good.
Really?
I'll see my girlfriend tomorrow night. I'll get the picture and bring it in, put it on the website. Because
and you took this picture on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Because you were inside the race on Sunday. Probably would have gone a little worse if you had done something like that on Friday night.
The look that I have on my face is one of... And I only saw it on her little camera, you know. She's got to print it out, and it's
right.
It was just that where you look at it and you go, "Oh, that looks pretty good." It's a really, really happy look where she described it. She said, "You look so happy there." She said, "Oh, but look at that's so sad. You look so hungover." And then the more she said, "You look so tired." And then she said, "Oh, that's such a sad smile. It's like it's your happy, but look, you're so sad."
Here I am in the race car.
Here I am in the race car.
Did you, when you were in the race car, did you sneak one? Did he give him a little one cheek sneak?
No. My God, it was...
leave a little something in there.
Just a great weekend, and hi to all my homies.
Sounds fun. Would you go again?
No.
Oh, come on.
Yes, right.
You would sense you had a good time.
Not there.
Oh, you go to another one.
I go somewhere else.
Like Richmond. I hear Richmond is special.
Somewhere they don't know you.
My NASCAR buddies tell me Richmond is really special.
Get her done!
I've been to Richmond itself, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, the race
is for me, that's just fine.
That's a night race, too.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't know if it's triangle track, though.
Round track. I think so.
Oval.
Had a hell of a time, and no wonder that there are 8,000 cops with their speed guns for the 200 miles that you're leaving that place, because really, I swear to God, you get in your car.
Oh, man, they had a good one today.
And you just want to punch it, and you just want to go as fast as you can.
You know, about an 80-degree day here in Washington, D.C., and the old motorcycle cops under the overpass.
Sure.
With a bright, sunny day, early summer, when that sun is high, and they sit out there, and you don't see them until you're on top of them, and they were just, it was ducks in a barrel, fish in a barrel. They were just enjoying themselves, pulling one after the other after the other. It was terrible.
You know, I think it's funny you say that. I know we got a break, Rob, but I promise we will. I think one of my many drunken NASCAR conversations over the weekend was actually, it's funny you mention that. Has anybody really ever shot fish in a barrel?
Mm.
And what makes it so easy to shoot fish in a barrel?
Well, it would depend on the amount of fish.
Right. These are the questions that I was asking my tent friends.
But it would seem to me that if you had the volume of fish in the barrel where it was where you were able to shoot them easily,
you couldn't miss.
That it would be a situation where you might as well use a hook.
Yeah, but you know what?
What's that?
It'll make your barrel leak. Get her done!
My girlfriend calls always telling me a lot of my opening line with a lot of people.
Yeah.
My icebreaker would be, which shoe do you tie first?
Wow. That sounds to me like one of those nonsensical drunken moments.
Well, it was how I sized people. I said, Which shoe?
I said, if they put their right shoe on first, they're okay with me.
That's what I do.
Well, we would go past some people's little area.
Sometimes, I mean, putting them on or tying them. If you have, I tie my right one first.
Well, see, what I do is I actually put both socks on first.
Uh-huh.
Then I put the right shoe on, tie that one, then put the left shoe on and tie that one. You don't care about this.
What I do normally is if I have the right fitting shoe, even if it's a tie shoe, I tie it just so there's a little play left. Then I run from the end of the room and I jump into them.
But you were sizing people up with this. What does that say about a person if they tie their left shoe first or their right shoe first?
That meant we went to another tent.
I see. It's arbitrary then.
Well, you start with your left one, huh? Hope you enjoy the race. We got to go.
Any of them do Velcro?
The old guy in the Lucy and Ricky trailer,
sure.
He had the Velcro shoes on.
All right.
Don't argue with those Velcro shoes.
God damn, what a great weekend. What a great weekend.
Might be a little tough to operate, but they're stylish.
Got back very late on Sunday, then got up very early yesterday morning to go with my buddy Mike to take the train to New York.
And been a long time since we've done that.
Meet with the big old Bobby Bacala, our boss, and those other two dicks that he brought along. And all in all, pretty good, huh?
All in all, pretty good outside of the awareness of the morning rush hour here in Washington, D.C., which is, I am simply surprised. I guess there are certain offices downtown where arriving for work at 11 o'clock is acceptable.
I guess.
Because really, I was astonished. I gave myself an hour and a half, and I would estimate the miles to be maybe 26, 27 miles total as the crow flies,
right.
And 1 hour every inch of the hour and a half to get down to the train station.
He averaged about 20 miles an hour.
Averaged about 20 miles an hour, maybe a little less than that. It was it was truly astonishing. And then when we got to Union Station, ran into a woman in an SUV who was without question the slowest driving woman I've ever seen. Mm. And I couldn't kill her. I had to wait for her.
They frown on that.
It's frustrating.
Why not do both?
Yeah, well,
wait a minute.
Where am I going to leave the body in the middle of that parking garage at Union Station?
Oh, and oh, God, hold on a second. I did buy gifts for everybody here, but you got to wait till I'm not going to see my girlfriend until tomorrow. She took them in her bag. I did buy all of you guys Dale Sr. shirts with the halos on them.
Hey! Oh, that's great.
With the halo over.
We will wear them.
I'll wear that on the bike.
Sure.
I'll wear that in public.
We'll wear them.
Nice.
All right, Meredith Vera, what's next?
We are going to be talking about vagina.
Hey,
God bless.
I knew she'd upgrade that show.
Thank you. Again, what was that, Meredith?
We are going to be talking about vagina.
You know, Katie Couric, on the other hand, made herself famous by The Other Side.
Yeah.
And well, it did, Rob. Colonoscopy.
Right, here's Katie Couric.
You want a match? My face and your ass. How about that, friend? Huh? I mean, your ass and my face. What's up?
Her voice sounds better now.
It doesn't sound as acid reflux.
Yeah,
does it?
Sounds terrific. She's finally getting that resonance back.
Oh, and listen, as I mentioned, it's Tuesday. And for the longest time on Tuesday, that was the day that we would review the previous night's episode of 24.
Right.
And anyway, that show's not on now.
No, not
the show's
the moment.
Done for the year.
Yeah, but one guy's just not letting go.
That's true.
He
bad.
Won't. We'll be right back.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show.
This house is so gone crazy.
The Don and Mike Show.
Say that again, friend.
This house is so gone crazy.
The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels them. The power of Christ compels Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
Wait a minute.
This house is so gone crazy.
No kidding. All the tapes are blank. All the wrong tapes.
Wow.
God damn it.
Damn, damn, damn.
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 Damn. Lord heavens. Let me see. Oh, we played some of this in the opening of the show today. A show I discovered on TLC called Shalom in the House.
I like it.
It's not a good. We played some of the tapes in the beginning of the show. What is it, Rob?
Shalom in the Home.
Shalom in the Home.
Shalom in the Home. I think it's a wonderful show.
Oh, hold on a second. That's not it.
It sounds like it could be.
Lovely, though.
This is a story of a boy named Shmuley, whose parents' divorce left him lonely. Shmuley made a promise that when he grew up...
Anyway, it's an acquired taste. It's Shalom in the Home.
Uh-huh.
We've got those tapes, and we'll play them. We'll review them tomorrow if we get a chance.
He travels in the aforementioned Lucy and Ricky trailer. Yeah, and he parks in the family's front yard. He helps.
Now, wow. We've also, today we've got these tapes of Roethlisberger, Big Ben. Yeah. I saw Mike about this yesterday on SportsCenter. Besides the fact that they're all going crazy saying, you know, hey, wears a helmet to play football, but not on his motorcycle.
Right.
The dude did some interviews last year about riding his bike and said some stuff that they are just cramming down everybody's throats now with Ben Roethlisberger. So that's worth talking about. And, you know, God, you hope the guy's okay. But yeah. You read the reports that he's got a broken jaw. He's got a broken nose. He's got a huge 9-inch cut in his head. His knees are all busted up.
You know, it is a weird thing to be in that club now because it does feel strange. You think a little differently about it every time you see that. Down in Florida is the first time I really became aware of people riding without helmets. And I wasn't even aware that Pennsylvania didn't have a helmet law. But when I was down there, you know, after I saw the first guy fly by, actually, with a helmet off, and I said, man, I guess they don't wear them down here. And then every single motorcycle I saw of the cruiser, the Harley variety, they weren't wearing their helmets. Nobody was wearing helmets. You know, though, even down there, and I just realized this, the guys that wear those crotch rockets,
right?
Most of the time, those guys have the helmets on. And I'm just surprised on a bike like that, that the guy was flying along, you know, I don't know how fast he was going without a helmet on. It's kind of weird.
All right, let's just get into this real fast, then. Right, and then we'll move on with the Devane stuff, and we've got the Cheryl tapes to hear. Here's Ben Roethlisberger about why he doesn't wear a helmet. This was obviously recorded before he got in the accident yesterday.
Well, because you don't have to. It's not the law. If it was the law, I'd definitely have one on every time I rode. But it's not the law, so I know I don't have to, and you're just more free when you're out there and there's no helmet on. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the guy.
And therein really is the argument for not wearing a helmet.
The guy's a great football player, and I love the fact that he's a free spirit. It sucks that this happened.
Yeah.
And now because he's done these interviews before, it's almost, I don't want to say it's karma, because he seems like a nice enough guy. It's just. It's Oogie.
I'm glad his head injuries weren't any worse. You know, and the fact is, who knows where the helmet would have changed things in this situation.
Here he is talking about the risks of riding a bike.
I think it can be a risk. It depends on how you ride. If I'm riding, I don't ride sport bikes. If I'm riding a sport bike and trying to do tricks and going 200 miles an hour down the highway, then that's probably pretty stupid. But when you're riding a Harley and a chopper and you're riding with a group of people and you're just you're not on the highway, you're cruising and
right
you're just
there.
Relaxing, I don't think it's as much of a risk as people make it out to be.
Oh, now hold on a second. Was he wearing? Was he riding a sport bike or was he riding a crotch rocket?
He was.
I mean, was he riding a Harley?
He was
Harley,
riding like a Jet Li type
Suzuki.
Well, that is a sport bike.
Right? I mean, the way I understand it, I mean, he's talking about Harleys and maybe a chopper, but
that was a year ago.
He obviously, that
was a year ago, right? Okay. He bought the kind that you really have to lean over.
That's a sport bike. Okay. Yeah.
All right, then, here's Terry Bradshaw! Not funny, Frank. Not funny.
Get her done.
You better park that sucker. You got 14-year career. Maybe you can get some more out of that.
Oh, no, this is from... God damn, we found this last May.
Ooh.
This is a tape. Terry Bradshaw, before the Steelers even won the Super Bowl last year, Terry Bradshaw went out to interview Ben Roethlisberger, is talking about him riding a motorcycle last May, okay?
You better park that sucker. You got 14-year career. Maybe you can get some more out of that. Park it. When you retire, you'll be in your 30s. Ride, to, you know, if you want to ride and be stupid, ride. But, good God, put that thing up. Did you not just see what happened to Winslow? Do you not care about your teammates and the organization and the fans? Those things are dangerous. Put it up. I was riding my Corvette right when Three Rivers was built, and the parking lots weren't quite finished. There was sand everywhere. So one day I goosed this Corvette and got out there and spun it. Well, who was behind me but Dan Rooney? And what he pretty much said, park it, you know. And he wanted to say a lot more than that.
Do you think Rooney will talk to Ben? He should probably.
He will. Yeah. And if he doesn't, I'm sure after this interview, because he values everything I say, I'm sure Dan will talk to him.
Terry Bradshaw, you know, he has that whole, hey, I'm a hit guy, but he is a smart guy.
And then
and he's right, especially about the teammates. That's the team leader, you know.
And then, of course, whenever you're talking about football,
You've got to go to the dreamiest player of all, Terrific Tom.
Tom Brady?
Let's go to Terrific Tom.
Political candidate Tom Brady?
Kind of looks like Madden Ben.
Right.
And let's say, hey, Tom, what did you think?
I think a lot of times you think you're kind of invincible as a person, and you know, you drive fast. And
you're dreamy, Tom. Hmm? That's all I can say. Is Tom going to say just the right thing?
Guys, I don't appreciate what you're saying about Tom.
Doesn't Tom always say the right thing, Mike?
He's a perfect boy.
He's super.
I do think you should, probably shouldn't be doing. But yeah, there's a lot of guys. You know, I know guys who ride motorcycles, and it's scary stuff. You know, you never know. I don't know why that accident was caused, but like I said, just hopefully he's okay.
I saw Tom Brady with his hand over his heart during the national anthem, guys.
At least he low-keyed it. I thought he was going to go on and do the, you know, the political speech that he does sometimes.
I'm terrific.
Well, his condition, Roethlisberger, is in fair condition now this afternoon, so he's been upgraded. But I won't be filming his Cannonball's Chunky Soup commercial.
Today was he was supposed to do. And if you're a Steelers fan, really, you better worry. Here we go, Steelers. Here we go. To everybody who listens to us in Pittsburgh. I mean, do you see him coming back for training camp in a month? I don't, yes.
Have you seen all the stuff in the papers and the internet about the Chunky Soup curse and him?
Oh, that's right. There is a Chunky Soup curse. When you do the Chunky commercials, something bad happens. Either you have a bad season or something goes wrong.
Yeah, but they say the same thing about the Madden game, though, don't they? And they're a curse like if...
And the Sports Illustrated?
Sports Illustrated curse. Mm-hmm. All right, get out
People
of here
love curses.
Get out of here with the curses.
They enjoy the curses.
Hold on, Jerome Bettis did those commercials.
He's got asthma.
Donovan McNabb did those commercials.
Right before he broke his hand. That's the season he was on my team.
And for the longest time, there was a sports curse known as the curse of the Bambino.
Yeah.
And that's been reversed.
Reverse the curse.
It's been reversed. The curse of the Bambino has been reversed. I always like to mention that.
And
thank you.
And Mike, you please wear your helmet on your bike.
I wear my helmet. Oh, I have to. It's the law. It's the law. I think if I was in a state, Rob, shut up, Rob. The curse of the helmet. No, I would wear, even if it was a non-helmet law state where you didn't have to wear a helmet, I'd probably still wear a helmet. I'm used to it. I feel safer with it.
I don't know why the Steelers today is speaking strictly football-wise.
And incidentally, I wear a hockey helmet.
I don't know why they just have not gone out and signed Kerry Collins. I mean, Kerry Collins is playing for nobody right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, if you're a Steelers fan, what are you going to get Tommy Maddox back there? Good luck.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, ever since Kerry Collins got involved in that whole free diving thing, you know, where he dives off cliffs with his chute, that's just
cliff diving.
It's just not safe. Yeah.
Now, last week on the show, we had some dumb, was it Us Weekly, Robbie?
Yeah.
Us Weekly had this stupid link that had a countdown of the amount of time it's been since Britney Spears and Kevin Federline were pictured together.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. If you go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com, there's the proof.
Oh, they're back together again?
There's the happy, happy couple, huh?
There they go.
Look at him.
Look at her, though. Is he the most affected hump on the face of the earth with his, you know, with his outfit? Oh, he's going to put the wife beater on, tough guy.
And you know that he is flexing there.
Yeah.
You know he's flexing.
Is that not a guy that just screams to be knocked out? Honestly, good.
Anyway,
sorry about that.
Pictures up on the website, and now maybe Us Weekly will stop that stupid countdown clock.
She looks good with that hair up too.
She looks good with that milk inside her. See what I'm saying?
You have great taste in women most of the time. That does not look attractive to me. Are you attracted to that picture?
To Britney Spears?
To Britney Spears?
Yes, yes, sir. 100% I'm attracted to Britney Spears.
Oh, man. I think you would sit there.
Excuse me.
You'd get close to her if these were close-up photographs, and you know, you'd see the bottom of those dirty feet.
I'd eat that toe cheese.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
I'd eat that boob cheese.
Nice to see. What, do they have the kid in a little Sean P. jersey, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yeah, hey, I was, have you been on the Pro Football Talk website? There's rumors around now that he didn't have a driver's license for his motorcycle. And in Pennsylvania, if you haven't had a license for 2 years, you have to wear a helmet. So he was breaking the law twice.
Well, now you just said that's a rumor that you read on a football website.
Let me tell you why I guarantee you he had a license. He was talking about motorcycles last year. Motorcycles have been a big part of this guy's publicity because it's been out there. I think he would have to have a license, especially if he's coming out and saying it's the law. He would have a Class M license,
and
I'm sure.
From what I've read, like, people in Pittsburgh have seen him riding his bike around town. It's not a big secret. That he's doing that.
Well, if you take a look at the website, it's the
one that's the thing right there. It's a website.
Okay, well, why don't you go to, you know where I find my information? It's at scatlovers.com.
Okay.
And
I hear that's BS.
I read there that he was naked.
He was naked and gay.
That's
like they say that about all football players.
Naked and gay, just like Cordell was.
He was riding with Cordell.
He was riding Cordell
on the motorcycle.
Story gets better.
Don Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, can I tell you how proud I am to be a resident of the state of Maine as the person that ran him over was from the state of Maine?
Really? The person that ran him over was from the state of Maine?
Yeah, being a Patriots fan, it was pretty good to hear that.
Oh, that sucks. Hey, that's not like Maine. You're not a Mainer.
Really, you're an
a-hole.
That's
all, yeah.
You're not a Mainer. You don't represent the spirit of Maine.
You're an a-hole.
You hung.
I'm glad the guy wasn't killed.
F off.
That's so non-Maine. You know, represent New England properly, you pump.
Hold on a second.
God.
We have a motorcycle cop on the line. Hello, officer.
Hello?
Hello.
It's Officer George.
You got me with that one. Have you been doing a lot of speed traps under bridges?
Yes, I have.
How do you spell Ben?
B-A-N-D.
Ben.
Perfect. Now.
On the run.
For $1 million, Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger.
Go ahead, spell it.
R-E-F-F-B-U-G-E-R.
Right, Tom.
That would be Ref Bueger.
Tom, any idea how you spell Pittsburgh?
Give me an easier one.
Motorcycle.
No,
How about bike?
B-I-K-E.
Hey, very good.
Sorry, that's wrong, Tom.
How about Harley?
Harley? Mm-hmm.
Harley.
H-A-L-E-Y.
That's right. Perfect. And finally, what about helmet?
H-A-M-P-T.
You're right.
Camped.
Beautiful. You're right. Thank Beautiful. You. Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
We are running terribly late here. So we.
I know. I know. You got to get to. You have to get to show the Big Dykes tape.
Yes, we do. And we also have William Devane. And we have. We got that guy from England today, right?
Yeah, that nuts guy.
Tom, do your thing right now, Tom. Go.
Go to break, guys. Dynamike.
Dynamike what?
Dynamike, go to break.
Anything you want to say to Satan?
Satan? Go to hell.
Oh!
How about to Dennis Murphy?
Dennis Murphy, you suck.
How about to Ben Roethlisberger?
Hey, Ben Roethlisberger, you suck too.
Oh, why? No. Why is that, Tom?
Why does he suck?
He's in the hospital.
Because his show sucks. Yours is better.
Do you like Britney Spears, Tom?
Yes.
What would you like to do to Britney Spears?
TF-er.
Yeah. All right, Tom, get us out of here.
Anybody out there listening, go to my MySpace.com.
Number 15, Arbitron. The Don and Mike Show.
3 FM.
We're moving for you to traveling on the inner loop of the Capitol Beltway in Virginia from the Dulles Toll Road on into Maryland to the Mormon Temple. In the slow traffic at the American Legion Bridge, there's a broken down truck taking up your right lane. Don't miss a big weekend of Nationals baseball when the Bronx Bombers hit the Beltway. Catch the Nats and the Yankees Friday at 7 on My 20, Saturday at 1 on Fox 5, and Sunday at 1 on My 20. I'm Michelle Hughes on the Don and Mike Show, 3 FM 106.7 WTVK.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, we got something here.
Don't blame them. Right. Blame the system. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me see. Whatever callers may have been right, we didn't go to that football website. We went to ESPN.com. And the headline is, Roethlisberger did not have motorcycle license.
Oh, dear. I stand corrected. I am very sorry about saying
now,
I thought he would.
Hold on. This is what it says on ESPN.com. Ben Roethlisberger might have been riding without a license to drive a motorcycle when he was involved in Monday's accident. Might have. Pittsburgh TV station KDKA reported today that police are checking whether he has a license.
Ah.
Sources tell KDKA-TV that Ben Roethlisberger has a license to drive a car, but has never had a Pennsylvania motorcycle's license. Mm-hmm. Motorcycle license. He had a learner's permit to operate a motorcycle that expired on March 29th, but had never taken the written and driving tests for a motorcycle license.
Oh, dear.
Let me see. The police will have no comment until they look into the entire story. So that's the latest. I guess the guy on the phone had the facts right for that website.
Got to take the test.
Or yeah. at this point, you know, see, this is where it's deceiving and why when someone says I read it on the internet, we don't always believe it.
Yeah, we don't know.
And even on ESPN.com, which I think is, if you're a sports fan, pretty reputable, mm-hmm. the headline says, report, Roethlisberger didn't have motorcycle license.
That is so, you know, right there, if you've ever questioned anything you read in a newspaper or on a website, that's what they do. And they put those big headlines out that are not telling the truth. It's been done to us. It's been done to us
and
over the years.
The most telling word is the third word. Ben Roethlisberger might have been riding without a license to drive a motorcycle.
That's irresponsible.
So we'll find out, you know, if there are all those reports. I'm guessing that it probably is really true, because if it wasn't true, somebody from the Steelers or from his family or somebody would step up to say, listen, no,
I don't know what the penalty
got
is
a license.
That, too. I don't know how much trouble he could get in. But
I know what it is.
It's pretty significant.
They cut off your right arm. he's got to learn to throw lefty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anyway, that's the latest on Big Ben.
Wow.
Now, time for something I think probably only appeals to me. Answer me these questions three. Mike, as you know, I have two great passions in my life. Star Trek The Next Generation.
And Christ.
And closely behind that, the UK. Imagine my thrill. Have you seen the movie Trekkies, and have you seen Trekkies 2 with Denise Crosby?
I have seen a little bit of it, yes.
Played Lieutenant Yar.
Mm-hmm.
In Trekkies 2, she interviews a guy from the UK who's turned his home into a replica of the Enterprise.
And it's a noble quest.
He spent 8 years turning his apartment into Star Trek The Next Generation.
Marvelous.
He's going to sell them now on eBay. And he's in London.
He's going to sell houses?
Somewhere in the UK.
You mean he's going to sell the interior design of houses?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, mate.
How you doing?
Hi, everybody. This is
Tony.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello, Tony.
Now, Buzz, can you please pull up this website, www.number24, meaning 24. It's www.24. CTHCID. www.24thcid.com. And Mike, if you look on Buzz's screen, you'll see that on this guy's website, it looks like one of the panels.
Interesting that website has THC in it.
It has the website looks like a panel from the Starship Enterprise. Is that your house?
It's an apartment, yeah, that I worked on, yeah.
I mean, so when you walk into your apartment, Tony, do you really walk into, like, a Star Trek environment?
Yes, I certainly do, yeah. It's 100%. In fact, it's a lot better than what you see on the website. Those pictures are about 3 years old. It's been refitted since that website was done.
So why do you
I don't even like Star Trek as much as you, but I have to admit now I am suddenly intrigued. Are you looking at that? At the detail in that thing?
Oh, I saw the website before the show. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's done a pretty good job of recreating Now, it's not only the Enterprise, but it's Voyager, right?
Yes, it's been refitted to Voyager. In fact, I'm a fan of Star Trek, but I'm more of a fan of the interior. As an interior designer, I'm more of a fan of the Star Trek's interior. I think the American-based TV show is better than any sci-fi show in terms of interior.
Now, how much do you think... Well, now, you've done this in your own house. You've turned your house into a replica of the Enterprise. How exactly are you going to sell this on eBay?
Well, it's been 2 years in having the refit to Star Trek Voyager. So it'll be listed on their real estate auction site at the end of this month.
So you're selling your
apartment, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh, well.
Anglin can kiss my ass.
Would you ever go to any other houses and like sell the interior design? Is it something that you can replicate in different apartments?
Mike,
you get different degrees. I get people saying that they want their study or their den doing, or they just want a particular part of the house doing.
You didn't even know it. You used a Star Trek word.
Yeah, the replicator.
The replicator.
Yeah. I know a little bit about that.
So when you were in that movie Trekkies 2, were you embarrassed when the movie came out?
No, I wasn't actually, because the crew with Denise Crosby, who played Tasha Yar, they were a great bunch of people. It was an enjoyable day. It was a long day, but it was an enjoyable day when I met them.
I actually replicated the outside of my house one time to look like the set of Sanford and Son.
You did a good job, Mike.
Thank you very much. You've been there.
You did a good job.
Isn't that incredibly authentic?
Listen, I'm a very big Star Trek TNG fan, and even I wouldn't do something as nutty as this, but we'll be glad to promote the website. Let me ask you this, Tony.
Looks expensive.
It's not expensive. Basically, at the end of the day, it's like set design. And if you've ever come across any set designer, they'll tell you that, I mean, the main budget goes on the actors, as you well know.
What are you looking for? What would a good opening bid be on eBay?
It'll start off at $200,000, but it doesn't have a reserve price.
All right, so you got a reserve, a minimum reserve you have to meet, and obviously it's over in the UK. So this is somebody that you're probably looking for somebody that's a Brit that's going to bid on this, right?
No, not necessarily, because it's going on eBay.com. It's open to anybody.
Yeah, but wouldn't they have to move to England, to the UK?
No, not necessarily. You could get a businessman who is a Star Trek fan, and there's plenty about who just wants to own this apartment.
Okay.
As a kind of party piece to bring his friends or whatever.
I'd love to have a party there.
Yeah.
That would be serious. You know, you're into it more than I am. I'm looking at
it's
this.
Cool.
That would be extremely
it
cool.
It is cool. Yeah. And may I ask you something else, sir? Have you seen those pictures of Paul's wife in the porno? I'm talking about, you know, the girl with one leg.
Oh, sure.
Christ, is she hot? Have you seen those topless pictures of her?
I'm not saying anything today. I don't read the newspapers that often, but I've been told about it.
Oh, yeah.
What is the coolest thing in your house, your Star Trek house?
It has to be the transporter. It was the first thing that was built, and it took 2 years to build, and that was based on the Next Generation transporter.
Does it do anything? Does it have anything?
It has sound effects and all the rest of it. The transporter sound effects sort of thing.
Do you think Paul ever does anything with her leg?
Probably does.
I mean,
he's back there.
I can't believe I'm more into this guy's house than you are, because I was thinking, if you go into the transporter room and you hit the sound effects, then what do you do? Like, run into another room?
It's strange, because when Denise Crosby was here, it was a bit surreal, because having seen her on the TV as Tasha Yar, as you mentioned earlier.
She still looks pretty good, huh, Tony?
She stood on the transporter.
Not as good as Heather, though.
She said, beam me up, which was a bit surreal to have Denise Crosby here actually using that phrase, beam me up.
What do you think that Denise Crosby would have to do to get a leg up on Heather?
Now, you're an interior designer, an interior decorator?
Interior designer.
Are you, don't take any offense at this, we're a gay-friendly show. Are you lighting the loafers, mate?
Say again?
Lighting the loafers. They might not know that in the UK.
You like men more than women?
No, I have a wife. She's an ex-wife. I'm a very, very good friend.
You're a heterosexual interior designer.
That is an American stereotype, that if you are male and you're an interior designer, you got to be a pole smoker.
No, I don't know. Maybe I think there may be a couple of interior designers that have kind of donned that label.
Oh, and speaking of pole smokers, do you think that Paul ever took Heather's leg off and used it as a pipe to smoke weed?
I don't know, but I think you two are probably on something like that.
Well, I can only hope that you get incredible bids from the UK. Perhaps Prince Harry or Prince William will bid on this.
Maybe. It'd be something like that. Or maybe Richard Branson. It'd be somebody who just wants to own it and say, well, yes, I own the Star Trek apartment.
Will you do anything similar along the Star Trek? Will you design any other interiors that are, Star Trek-type interiors?
Yes, I'm coming to the States soon. I've got somebody who wants... somebody quite famous. Somebody very famous who wants something doing for another member of his family.
Can you tell us the famous person?
Yeah, no, I said not to say anything at all.
It's got to be private.
Well, I could say he's got a famous dad, so if you put two and two together, you might get him.
Yeah, and I know this. I don't want you to affect the sale, obviously, but this has the novelty approach anyway. If you are going to build this, materials and cost and just charge somebody for, you know, doing this? What do you think you could get it done for? Bottom line cost.
It's just an ordinary room. Say an ordinary, this is a 375 square feet, so an ordinary room. You could probably do it for about $5,000, maybe.
Why is Benny Hill so funny?
I don't think he's funny myself, but I dare say he might be funny over there.
I like that Fawlty Towers guy.
And you know what, Johnny, please, now, he's not so funny. He's a very intelligent guy.
And you've not seen the pictures of Paul McCartney's wife?
No, I've not seen it, but my ex-wife gets the newspaper, so she's constantly talking about it.
Do you believe... How long was he married to her, Robbie?
Like 4 years.
4 years.
Do you think she gets like $180 million?
Yeah. Money.
Jesus Christ.
And there's no prenuptial, apparently.
Right. I think it sounds reasonable.
Do you believe that she made Paul have plastic surgery?
I doubt that.
Are you embarrassed by Ringo?
Ringo's an alcoholic, so I've been told.
Oh, dear. Do you guys have better water over there now for, like, the fluoride for the teeth?
Yeah. It's good. The water's good over here.
And your food's getting better, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, well, I'm all right on it. You know.
Do you boil a lot of your own meals?
Well, no, I have microwave food for us.
Okay, microwave, very good.
Yeah, it's quick and easy.
Listen, here's a serious question. I watch the news a lot. Is Prince Harry just a little slow?
I'm not a royalist, to be honest with you. I don't follow the royal family.
He looks like the slow royal to us.
He might be slightly retarded. I mean, not like... I mean, are you familiar with Forrest Gump?
Yeah.
Forrest Gump had an IQ of 75. Prince Harry looks to me to be maybe, if I was to clock him, like an 80.
Does Prince Harry's polo pony graze in another, you know, field?
I was astonished because there's just a show now about Princess Diana, the late Princess Diana, and it showed you clips of the two princes, and they were looking at wreaths that were laid down as a result of the death outside Buckingham Palace.
Yes, my ass.
It's funny that you should say about him being a bit slow, because the expression on the two of them's faces was like as if nothing had happened.
Would you feel safer if the Bobbies carried guns?
Yes, I think it would, yeah.
We're getting all our English questions.
I think they should, yeah. I think if everybody, like you over there, or some of your states where having a gun is not prohibited.
The last thing I have
I think we should adopt that attitude here, and there'd probably be less crime.
How's your silly soccer game going?
Again, I don't follow football, but I just caught the Brazil-Croatia match, and Brazil have won. They won that match 1-0.
What's your favorite American food?
Got to be hamburger.
Hamburger. Yeah. Yep,
why
good.
Do soccer fans in England, and well throughout Europe, why do they throw bananas at the black players?
I don't know. It's a racist thing. I think. I mean, we were talking about. I work out for the gym. They were talking about soccer, about that particular thing, and why violence is attached to soccer, and where did the violence first start? And it started here in the UK. I said, what soccer fans ought to do is take a leaf out of the football fans in America, because I believe there's no violence attached to your game, is there?
Not really. There's an occasional fight in the stands, but nothing really of a large scale.
And you have 10 times the amount of people go see one of your major
yes. Games. The National Football League dwarfs your, as you call it, football. Let's
and there's
honest.
No violence. And yet it's a more body contact game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? So
why is that?
Well, maybe the key is, and I'd start
in a free world.
I'd start watching, and maybe the key is to make soccer just a little more violent. I mean, really, why not go for that? Have the fighting on the field. See, it's too gentle a sport. Run, 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 kick the ball. Run, 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 kick the ball. Have a few more, you know, put a little rugby into it.
That's right, yeah, and because as your sport is akin to rugby union, I dare say, and yet at rugby union matches, we don't have any violence, but we have violence at football matches.
Oh. See, there it is.
Yeah. Do you know who Simon Cowell is?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Do you think he's a dick?
Is it what?
Do you think he's a jerk?
I don't. I think he's a very professional, very successful a record producer.
Mm-hmm. We love him. America loves him because, of course, as you know, everything good. Did we steal American Idol from somebody else? Who'd we steal it from?
We stole it from England, the British.
From England, yeah. I think Simon Cowell knows exactly what he's talking about. Yeah. The guy wouldn't be where he is if he didn't. I used to be in the record business myself. And as far as he's concerned, everything he says is constructive and exactly 9 out of 10 times of what he says.
Why does he...
It's spot on.
Why does he wear such tiny T-shirts?
Well, you're never going to get an answer to that one.
So many questions.
No
and there's just not enough
so
time.
Many British questions. Fantastic. And hey, I guess your queen's taking a sip from that fountain of youth, huh? She's still hanging in there.
And really. How do you think Prince Charles dives into that Camilla? I mean, seriously, take a good look at her.
What if Fritz, seriously, what if Fritz think about her?
That's like him looking in a mirror, putting on a wig and saying, yeah, I'm a woman.
I'm going to do myself.
she has been actually kind of compared to a late male comedian here who died some time ago, and they both of them look exactly the same.
Do the Brits like Camilla at all?
I think this is like a 50-50. I think the thing with Diana, they won't let that go because I mean, it's as you say, how can Prince Charles prefer Camilla Parker Bowles over, you know, Princess Diana?
That's
I mean,
right.
I can't understand that one. I still can't understand
who
it.
Who wants to eat dog poop when you can eat steak?
You know what I'm saying? Spoken like a true Yank.
Well, listen, the website is 24thcid.com. Mm-hmm. If you're a Star Trek fan like I am, go check it out. This dude's apartment looks just like the Enterprise.
I predict you're going to get a lot of money for this, Tony.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this contract goes in the States when I come over to California.
Hey, listen, how's that Iraq war working out? Is the war in Iraq working out as good for you as it is for us?
Well, there's plenty of discussions about that here on the TV, and I'd like to get into that myself.
We're loving it. Mission accomplished, don't you think?
That's going great.
It seems every time I turn the radio on, it seems to be the same thing. They talk about the same things over and over again. It just kind of wears me down a bit. I know there's people dying over there, but I think really they should just leave them to it.
Leave them to it, yeah. Well, a lot of people feel that way over here.
Every war's got something to do with religion, and it's never going to change.
Where did you get the idea for the Mini Cooper? That is such a cute car. Well, give me best to Roger Moore, and thank you for being on the show today.
Okay, then.
Tally-ho.
It's been delightful.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Don and Mike, cheers.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right,
bye-bye. I like Tony.
He had a good time.
I enjoyed Tony, and I like his room. Yeah. I think that's cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you liked the room. I didn't think you'd like the room.
And you know something? I could see you doing that. I could see you doing it. That's why I asked him cost. And I thought it was pretty cool that he's trying to hawk this thing on eBay, but he still was square with us as far as what it would cost to get that done.
Right.
I mean, maybe 10 years ago I might have.
Right.
But it'd be one of those things that'd be like, now I'd go, oh, Jesus Christ.
It'd be, if you got it built, you'd spend time in it.
It is cool. Yes,
would. You would spend time in it, really, and you would spend time in it naked.
It'd be my nude,
right, my nude room.
You know what? Seriously, what if it was just a Star Trek bathroom? Limited square footage, and you just have everything. You have the Star Trek, you know, like Rudy Marsky used to have his Wisconsin Badger room.
Keypads and everything.
I don't want to lift up my toilet bowl and hear the Star Trek theme. When you lift the toilet...
Oh, you don't call it the toilet bowl if you do the Star Trek. You call your toilet the replicator. Well, doesn't it look the same every day? Most of the, if you're fortunate,
the loo.
Where's me loo? I gotta use the loo. I just had my boiled eggs.
You would go to Rudy's house to take a leak, mm-hmm. and you go to the bathroom, and you lift up the toilet seat, mm-hmm. and while you're going, it would be like, on Wisconsin, on your side. No, thank you.
Because you're stood next to the Badger shower curtain.
No, thank you. I got a break. You know what? We have not gotten to old Big Teeth.
That's right.
He's coming right up.
Number 15 Arbitron rated, The Don and Mike Show. We're here, we're queer, we're Irish, get used to it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Get used to it.
We're here.
The masters of the Thailand tongue bath, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We are running late on time today, but I'll at least give you a taste of Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Yes, please.
That's a loaded statement right there.
Cheryl, of course, is the coolest lesbian of all time.
Yeah, we love her.
And she goes to the Gay Pride Parade every year in D.C. with a tape recorder. I think we have at least 17 different cuts this year.
Plenty.
Here's just a sample of Cheryl the Big Dyke. We'll probably have to hear most of it. Who am I kidding? We will have to hear these tomorrow.
Don and Mike, this is Cheryl the Big Dyke, and on my way over to the Dyke March, I stopped at another gay event. And they're playing Cher music. Go figure.
Hey, hold on a second.
Excuse me.
Hold on a second.
Excuse me. I was waiting outside for the entire show, Jack.
Turn that
and
off.
You're playing a lesbian stage.
Yeah.
This is completely unacceptable, Jack. I've been in your green room for 4.5 hours. Are you insane? Don't you realize Bill Devane waits for no man? And I've also been told the season's concluded. What's that crap? This is unacceptable,
okay,
Jack.
Hold on, everybody. Let me do a very quick reset.
Please.
Cheryl the Big Dyke was at the Gay Pride Parade in D.C. over the weekend.
Right.
We will have her tape of her interacting with her gay and lesbian friends.
I could be back in California on my ranch cutting down trees like beavers do.
Tomorrow's show.
Don't you understand that, Jack? Don't you know who you're dealing with?
Instead,
Bill Devane, Hollywood go-to guy.
The problem
That's
is...
That's me. Meanwhile, I just got out of ICU.
The problem is when we used to talk about 24... Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday, we would feature Bill Devane.
Of course you would, because I'm the star.
I've already forgotten. What's the role you played again?
I was Secretary Heller, the Secretary of Defense. I was instrumental in identifying the fact that President Logan was a bad guy.
Well, we
don't you understand that? I'm out of ICU, and sadly, CTU has horrible health insurance. I'm very frustrated with the entire situation, Jack.
The only thing I can say...
You don't have any goddamn idea that I'm William Devane, and you let me sit and rot, just like the producers and directors and Kiefer Faggot Sutherland lets me die on the vine. A quality Hollywood actor brings in these hacks like Edgar Stiles... Louis,
the late Edgar Stiles, Louis Lombardi.
Louis Lombardi, who doesn't have his talent. I've got more talent than I see floating in my bowl in the morning.
Oh,
meanwhile, what do I do? Let's have him drive off a cliff and never be seen again. I'm damn angry.
Sure.
I was in the green room speaking with my personal dental hygienist who I travel with, and she was saying, you shouldn't take this, Bill. I should have stayed in my suburbs town car. That would have been a better prop line. I wrote several ideas. Secretary Heller survives due to the fact that he's got steel aqualungs in the trunk of his special security car.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, what if I developed gills and was miraculously able to survive underwater, Jack?
The show's not on now.
Of course it's not on, and I just found that out.
The season is over.
Here I was, sitting in your green room, Jack, for my very special appearance. I was going to come in and talk about 24. Then your producer, fat ass, walks up to me and says, Bill Devane, I said, call me William until you know me properly. And he says, the show's off, sir. I said, you're full of it, sir. He said, no, it's not on any longer.
Yeah.
I developed a method to speak with seahorses that I was going to use in the show.
Wow. You know, I don't know how to let you down easy.
You can let me down. You don't need. I'm Bill effing Devane. Do you understand? I'm not Slandic. I'm the go-to guy. Before I was on 24, it was wallowing in the ratings haze. It was in a peat bog is what it was in.
We can't.
Jesus Christ, who do you think you're talking to here? Are you insane?
We can't.
Are you really?
We can't have you on every Tuesday anymore.
I'm aware of that fact. I have plenty of plans and plenty of time to keep myself occupied out in California or various other vacation homes that I was able to purchase during my successful run on earlier television series.
Uh-huh.
Whether it was playing a Kennedy or whether it was being on the wonderful show Knots Landing.
Yeah.
And I must say, Miss Van Ark, once again, salute from your pal Bill Devane. My veneers have shifted.
Oh,
and I have to go to my chiropractor. Damn.
Now, did you hear it? We were going to use this break just to tease the Cheryl the Big Dyke tapes.
Don't care about your lesbian and gay pride. What I care about is Devane pride. There are thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands, at least tens of thousands, of certified card-carrying Devaniacs.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of them? They have their own website. They do, my friend. Jack, these people are absolutely...
Jack, like Jack Bauer?
Yes, of course. Well, names are incidental at this point.
Yeah.
The Devaniacs are rallying, and they're demanding the following seasons include me.
Yep.
And goddammit, I'm not going to let them down. And I'm also here to announce a brand new product. I'm starting my full line of floss and dental products. A giant-sized toothpick. It's the size of a big baseball bat.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
I hate my life right now. I've been screwed, blue, and tattooed.
Yep.
And I know you're hustling me out because you're short on time. Because what are you doing? You're listening to the executives. Damn you all. Damn all broadcasters. I'm simply going to go back with my incredible free stash that I've got in my wine cellar that's filled with not wine, but Pearl Drops tooth polish. You familiar with that old product? I've got it down in my basement. My new toothpick hangs with your...
What?
My new toothpick. You can hang it right next to your fireplace tools. Enjoy yourself, boys, because there's not a goddamn chance that I'm going to put my divine ass back in your studio. I don't care if you're going to your new shiny pearl of a studio. I've been sitting there aging, and I'm old as it is.
I come back next Tuesday.
My hair is real. All right? Up top and pube.
Do you wanna
all
hear,
real.
Do you want to hear some Cheryl?
Cheryl who?
Don and Mike, this is Cheryl the Big Dyke. And
God
on my
damn it,
way
no,
over to
turn
the
it off.
March, I
turn
stopped.
It off.
Oh, like
I'm Bill Devane.
Secretary Heller.
Yes, sir.
We have this missive from the Pentagon. Would you read it to America, please? Ladies and gentlemen, Secretary Heller. No, open it up early. I'm not goofing with you.
The Don and Mike Show is brought to you by Head On. Head-on products are available without a prescription at retailers nationwide. Be sure to try Head-on today. Jesus, this is a commercial.
Right.
You've screwed me all over, and you've taken advantage of my elderly status in Hollywood. I may never be back here again, unless you want to sell something for me, damn it.
Come on. That was pretty close with the door shutting.
F you.
Okay. We'll be right back with Buzz's news and comments.
You guys are effort.
Very upset. Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
About to find out.
A handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Right. They want to fart for ye. Don and Mike.
Here we go. Have time for Buzz's intro today, so we just say, what's the buzz? What's the buzz? Buzz brought to us tonight by the Visa Business Card.
Right.
Business takes efficiency, whether you pay by debit or credit. Visa Business helps you get things done.
All right, I've been a little obsessive compulsive.
Hold on,
about
Mike,
this app. Yes?
Your business is your life. Life
I'm
takes
sorry.
Visa.
I got excited.
It's a business card.
All right. I did find that guy, that actor I saw in New York, and the most famous character he plays is in, he's the new Dumbledore in Harry Potter.
Ah.
So he's a big enough name like that. But other than that, I was looking through, like, movies that people would see. I'm sorry. You'd recognize him if you saw a picture of him.
I'm glad you saw him last night.
I did. I saw him.
He might have been filming. We just don't know.
He wasn't filming Harry Potter because he wasn't wearing, like, the big long beard.
Right.
And the big pointed hat.
Right.
You know what I saw last night?
Three guys from Brooklyn!
I saw them, too. They were great characters.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Sorry to slow the show down with that, but it's true.
You didn't slow the show.
I was excited.
Hi, Buzz.
I got so obsessive about it.
War sucks, and people get desperate for a way out of it. At the Air Force's Wright Laboratory in Dayton, Ohio, they wanted to research a chemical weapon that would make enemy soldiers turn on each other in a gay way.
Oh,
we're just now hearing of this thanks to the Freedom of Information Act, but the lab asked for the funding back in 1994.
Bring on more war.
Get me General Taylor.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
Wearing a Roman helmet. The six-year project would have also investigated the use of chemicals to give the enemy unmistakable bad breath,
Buzz,
so they could be
me.
Easily identified. Yeah.
Not that your story is great. It was brought up earlier in the show by one of those crank calls where the guy mentions our name.
Right.
What is a Roman helmet? Because
I think you can communicate this with and keep it in our parameters.
The guy said that Mike gives Roman helmets all the time.
If you arrange your junk properly on someone's head, on their forehead, it will resemble, I guess, the appearance, the design, the style of a Roman helmet.
Because the berries will sit up atop the forehead.
The forehead.
And the...
That
and the
is
twig.
Nuts. Like, I just say you both are nuts.
The berries will sit atop the forehead and the twig will run down the bridge of the nose.
That's
well, then more than likely you're gay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Like there was some question about that.
Who are you calling gay?
So we're just now hearing about this gay bomb that was considered. The six-year project also would have investigated the use of chemicals to give the enemy unmistakable bad breath so they could be easily identified. There was even a Who Me bomb that would have simulated the odor of flatulence.
Now, hold on. Are these bombs that we thought about making?
Yes. Yes, the U.S. military, and they didn't get the funding for it, so they never went ahead with the research, and we're just now hearing it.
Are you doing a desk piece? Because this is almost like...
It's weird.
If you think back like to the Johnny Carson show, it'd be like, right. These are rejected bombs.
That's right.
Ohio.
We, years ago, had an engineer that was definitely the enemy. Hi, Mick.
He had a Who Me bomb?
Mick Rosenoff.
Death breath.
Ah.
Like seriously, something had crawled in his mouth. And
well, you know,
died.
You heard they have the Who, they considered the Who Me bomb that simulates the odor of flatulence. So instead of a smart bomb, it would have been a fart bomb. But there was that idea. That was scrapped because in some.
That's not the engineer I'm talking about. I'm talking about like several radio stations ago.
Well, could you do your Tony impression for us anyway?
Well, they dropped the idea for the Who Me bomb because in some parts of the world, the military determined that odor is so common, the bomb would have gone unnoticed.
Oh, gross.
As many of you know, we have lost our dear friend, Rod Roddy.
What does he have to do with that?
Now, he might be a victim of the Who Me bomb as well.
Rod Roddy?
Yeah.
Rod Roddy has passed away already, big
I don't think he even served in the military, Rob.
Don't ask, don't tell. He had the first bomb.
The only uniform he ever wore was a band uniform.
With Zarqawi out and Iraq's new unity government in, some say this would be a good time to get out of Iraq. President Bush is not one of those, and today he made a surprise visit to Baghdad to show support for the new government there and for the U.S. war effort now in its third big year. He's on his way home this evening.
Tough to do any next stepping when he does that.
Yeah,
because really, that is, I think, good for the troops that are over there to see him and good for the Iraqi people. And, you know, I admire him for doing that.
Yeah, I think you, one of you guys brought this up, and if you did, I apologize for repeating it, but I mentioned it over the weekend to somebody. Why, with this, the big guy that we got,
mm-hmm.
Why do we get such a fancy frame for the picture?
Yeah, when they were showing it in front of, like, at the Pentagon,
it's like it's a
this big wooden frame.
It's a picture that you would put like a very famous piece of art in.
And it was not only a gold frame, but it was double matted. Like they took it over to Frameworks to have it done professionally.
Right. And are we not becoming more like our enemies? I thought of that when they were showing the dead body. You had the dead body up there in front of everybody, and I was saying, you know, I just don't seem to remember us doing this in years past, and I know we're perhaps doing the PR for that world, the Arab world, but it just seems like we're coming down to their level.
No, I think
when we're sitting there with a corpse up there, you know, it seemed to me, you know, they have to probably show it to the Arab world.
Yeah, they have to show the picture of
that's
the guy.
What they respond to.
And it was just his head, right? I mean, literally, but they cut his head off, right?
Or no, that was a picture of his body. He was, the autopsy results showed that the guy was alive for 52 minutes after the first bomb hit. Mm-hmm. So they actually did have him there, you know, and there were no bullet wounds. So they didn't shoot him after they caught him.
Can I tell you this one funny thing over the weekend?
Sure.
My girlfriend is a very strict Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Really? I mean, that's fine. I mean, we don't talk about politics.
Right.
When she was imbibing up at the NASCAR over the weekend, the topic got to this guy, and we started talking about that frame.
Yeah.
And she said, and it was just the booze talking, she said, you know, I'd really like to see a picture like that. Like who? She's Hillary Clinton.
Whoa.
Oh,
dear.
Like, okay.
She's not alone.
Let's not talk about politics.
Yeah.
Let's not talk.
Woo-hoo, man. That's cool.
I know. Let's not talk about politics.
So she's kind of far over that way if she feels that strongly about it.
Sure is, Mike.
Because I remember the last time anybody was talking about shooting pictures of Bill and Hillary.
It was a very, very out there guy.
Yeah. I don't think that she meant that she wanted to harm Hillary Clinton.
No.
It's just
right.
She, I know someone was saying, you know, Hillary's going to run for president next time.
Hillary is the target. I mean, if you're a right-wing Republican, that's who you're you're kind of talking about over the time. How did you react to that?
Not well. Not well.
But you can handle it. I mean, you can handle it because I said you don't take it that seriously. Anyway.
I mean, you know, come on, please. And then she started going through the list. She said, well... You know, she said it was a right-wing conspiracy. conspiracy. I said, well, hold on, please don't make me defend her. But you know, she's believing what Bubba said.
Right.
Bubba came home and said that he didn't bang Lewinsky, so she goes and says, exactly, she blames it on the far right. I was like, okay. Anyway, I probably should have mentioned that on the air. Buzz?
Yes.
Let's change the topic here for a moment.
Yeah. Very good. Back at home, the president's buddy Karl Rove has dodged a bullet. Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald.
And Gerald Fitzpatrick.
Hello, boys.
Hi, Carl.
How's everyone doing?
What's happening,
Rove?
Well,
you,
I'm
apparently
wonderful. I've dodged the bullet as I knew I always would.
After a 3-year investigation, Karl Rove will not be charged in the outing of CIA agent Valerie Plame.
Who's not going to be invited? I'm sorry, indicted. It is I, Karl Rove, otherwise known as the Architect.
Rove made at least 5 appearances before a grand jury during the investigation, but still ahead, the trial of Dick Cheney's former right-hand man, Scooter Libby.
Meaningless. Meaningless scribble. I threaten the federal prosecutors with turning them to stone. All of them turned completely to stone. I'm free at last. Wonderful. Let's see what I can do that's evil.
Karl Rove.
Thank you, Buzz. Sorry to disappoint you.
No, you haven't. No, you never do, Carl.
Yes, you have. I'm totally disappointed because now I walk free.
Well, that's disappointing.
Thank you.
Immigration's still a hot topic among the people, and the front line in that battle may be at a cheesesteak counter in Philadelphia, where a sign reads, "This is America. When ordering, speak English."
Bueno, ding dong diddly dia, senor.
The sign hangs at Gino's in South Philly, one of the premier spots in the city for that local delicacy. But there have been complaints about the sign, and Gino is refusing to take it down. So now the City Commission on Human Relations has filed a formal complaint. It has every intention of making Gino take down the sign. Quoting one official, it's mean-spirited and divisive, and it's not good for the city's image, end quote.
You just call that English?
The ACLU is on Gino's side. Mm-hmm.
And I was here last year. It was 98 friggin' degrees. It's 47. I don't want to buy a friggin' sweatshirt. What are you looking at?
Mr. Philadelphia.
How's my time in the Poconos?
Hey, the new Border Patrol is getting her done. That's our story when we come back.
Oh, is it really? Are you being facetious?
No, it's true.
Oh, that was a non-committal speech. Yeah, right. When he goes, no,
it's absolutely true. They're getting it done.
Okay. See, now when you do this.
Yeah. Tap the cards.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
I mean,
watching too much Lennon.
No. Well, yes, but we're not getting it done.
Ah,
I
no, actually,
it.
We are.
Silence.
So are we or aren't we? We'll find out in a minute.
Okay,
or
dude.
Two or nine.
Hey, Carl.
Number 15 Arbitron rated the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate, baby. Mm-hmm. Do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about this show.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Come, cop a feel of the Don and Mike Show.
Have a more Buzz Burbank now. Buzz brought to you by Cox. COX. Brought to you by Cox Business Services, providing broadband based high speed internet, local long distance phone, volume, data solutions, all size businesses. Cox. COX. Business.com. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Howdy.
It's true. America's new Border Patrol has put a serious dent in the number of illegal border crossings from Mexico. National Guard troops have scared away 7,000 would-be crossers, and that was just in the first 10 days of June. The number of illegals we've captured just this side of the border is down by 21%. The number of illegal border crossings does tend to decrease in hotter weather down there, but usually not by this much. Some days now, as few as 3 guys are getting caught jumping the border.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
A man who runs a migrant shelter in Arizona says he's been told by the immigrants that migrants are afraid of American military troops based on the abuse stories they've heard from Iraq.
I know Rob tried all weekend to sneak into Mexico, and he could not do it.
Yeah, you know,
every time.
You didn't understand, you know, that all you had to do was go to the checkpoint.
I don't like that.
I know you don't.
No fun.
It's where the jobs are,
checkpoint
Rob.
Checkpoint Pedro.
See. Scream real loud, kids.
Violent crime's up in the U.S. on the fastest increase in 15 years. A criminal justice professor
would applaud that
in Boston.
I'll join you in that one.
Criminal justice.
I don't know why, because we're idiots.
Professor says it's because we've cut many popular law enforcement programs to fund the war on terror. He says this is a wake-up call to worry about, quote, not just homeland security, but hometown security.
Just people.
Violent crime includes robbery as well as murder and assault. The number of rapes is actually down based on early numbers from the FBI, and violent crime has actually decreased in Baltimore.
Just people.
Hey, all right.
Go
give
Baltimore.
A round of applause.
But not chlamydia.
No. Well, perhaps a little.
People are staying inside.
A dancer in Billy Joel's Broadway musical, Movin' Out, says she was fired because her breasts got bigger. Alice Elise blossomed as the show toured the country. It happened naturally, her C cups becoming D's.
Mm.
Her cups runneth over.
You really should do an interview with her, Buzz.
I should.
Yeah, go ask. Go ask Alice.
I would like to.
Please stop with the jokes and let him please read the...
You're digging this, aren't you?
Yes, her C-cups matured to D's.
Mm.
The producers had to rebuild her costume, sewing larger bras.
Mm. Yeah, I sound like What About Bob having that chicken.
And the producers complained. Now Alice has filed a complaint, a 42-page court document. She says she didn't have surgery or pills, and she didn't gain weight. She's still thin. Billy Joel says, and I quote, "Under no circumstances would I ever have anyone fired for breasts that were too large." End quote.
Yeah, I mean, big breasts or small breasts, she's always a woman to me.
And here's a tape of what? Did you have her name?
Yes, Alice Elise.
Here she is.
The dancer.
You never miss a jump split.
Right.
No matter what. Y'all didn't drop your palms together. Did y'all count wrong? You're still walking on your heels.
Huge boots.
It almost looks just like you have weak ankles. Pose on count one. That's just lack of thinking. Jump split down and hip.
Yeah, baby. Look at those boobs.
The soon-to-be ex-Mrs. McCartney says she was never a whore. A British tabloid, News of the World, says she made big money doing wealthy Arabs when she was in her 20s.
Don't we have a link? Are we going to put that on the website to recap today?
Yeah.
If you go to today's steaming log, Buzz, give me a second.
Sure. Call to Yanni.
Yep. Yanni, our web
guy. Hi, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Yanni.
Hello.
Hey, listen, when you're writing your recap of all the brilliant things we're saying, will you put in that link with the new naked slideshow of Heather Mills?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Where would you like that?
Right in this part where Buzz is talking about it during the news.
You got it.
Okay. Because as Buzz is mentioning this, we've got yet another link that he has even more pictures of the one-legged whore.
She's fun to look at.
Back when she had two legs, and I mean, she's got two fun bags.
Yeah, she does.
Talk about C cup to D cup.
Looks wonderful.
Anyway, we'll have the link right there as you read the recap of today's show.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to the part with Buzz's news, John will have it like in purple and underlined. You just click and you go right to these pictures.
Enjoy the new pictures.
Hot.
Heather says the prostitution accusations are not true and that she will sue the tabloid. The paper also said Heather Mills McCartney had engaged in lesbian and group sex back in the day. Another paper, The Sun, printed photos, and we had these on our website last week, may still have them, photos from what it called an obscene and pornographic photo shoot. Heather says the photos were actually from a lover's guide, not from pornography.
Tasteful. And here's Paul McCartney.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
She called it a lover's guide, and the book had no text. It was just pictures.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot from pictures.
You sure can.
Follow the guide.
I learned how to dress in my hockey uniform by Bobby Orr's picture book.
Faggot. Faggot.
Yes, tonight.
Gee about that.
Yes,
sure is. I learned how to dress in my hockey suit by looking at pictures of Bobby Orr.
He had an instructional hockey book on how skating, shooting, and
boys.
What equipment to wear. Oh, you
hi,
know
boys.
Okay. There it goes. I forgot it's Boston again.
No. Oh, I wasn't even going to go down there. I was going to do the Harv Moore thing on you.
But as long as you run, hi, boys. This is Bobby Orr. I'm here to tell you what it takes to be a great hockey player. First thing I want to say, this room is full of nothing but winners. You know why?
Why?
Because you're all white. You're all
shut
white.
Up.
Just like me, Bobby Orr.
Bobby, he's from Canada. He
let me show
that
you
accent.
How to put on your Boston Bruins pants.
He's Canadian.
One white leg, then the other white leg.
Stop it.
You live in Boston now, for God's sake.
Stop
hey,
it.
White Boston.
Oh, God.
Yes, tonight, because I have a headache, a new study says people who get migraines have stronger sex drives than those who don't.
Michael Mara.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Michael can prove that that's not true.
A researcher at Wake Forest Medical School says, and I quote, sexual desire and migraines.
Why are you looking at your thing?
I'm not looking at it.
You're thinking about it, though.
I'm touching
it's
it.
Looking
touching
at him.
It. I'm touching it and touching my temple at the same time.
Quoting a reason.
No. You're touching your temple with your thing?
No, I'm saying
you show off.
Double jointed.
No, actually, just putting a little pressure here and a little pressure here.
Oh. researcher at Wake Forest says, and I quote, sexual desire and migraines may be influenced by the same brain chemical. In men, the difference is 24% hornier if they have migraines.
I'll buy that.
So now the question is, how bad are those headaches really?
They're really bad sometimes.
We have to break.
Yes, we do.
And I know when we come back, we will have a very special treat. Buzz has to go to some type of...
city council meeting.
City council.
Turn over some furniture.
And Joe will come in and finish the news.
Oh, tonight. That'll be a treat.
Okay.
Hope we hit our mark.
We will. Yeah. Thank you, Buzz. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Right.
That will be a good segment.
Joe.
Coming right up.
Joe.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Sorry, we're out of time.
But we are.
They will cure your irritable ball syndrome. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We are out of time. Buzz has left to go to some goddamn city council meeting or something. Seriously.
Yeah, he's going to speak before the council.
So now with the kicker, here is Joe. He's not retarded.
Howdy. Finally, some parents reward their kids for good behavior. In Chandler, Arizona, one couple is in trouble for doing just that. Tori Lynn and Aaron Virgil Carlson gave their kids pop as a reward for good behavior. The kids are 12, 11, and 4. A tip from neighbors led police to charge the couple with child endangerment, contributing to delinquency of minors, and possession with intent to sell. Of course, for a family of five, a quarter pound doesn't leave much to sell. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Good job, Joe. Nicely done.
Thank you.
That's Joe Artinger, everyone.
As far as I'm concerned, Buzz can take this last little mini break every day. And
absolutely. We can end it with Joe every day.
This is Joe Reed. Well, that's it. We got to go. Great job today, Buzz.
Good day to you.
Thank you. Good day to you, sir. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, you.
Stuart Margolin played Angel.
What?
Stuart Margolin played Angel.
Right. I'm just waiting. I was arguing with Rob about the time, but now I'm just dicking with him right now.
You are.
I'm just totally dicking with you.
Bye.
Number 15 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.